Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and it is Sunday, and it is time for some straight talk. We are the talk show that is made for men, by men. Not even ladies want to miss what we have to say here. Before we get into it, and tonight we are going to get into a provocative topic. Some of the ladies don't like all the things I have to say, especially on Facebook. They have told me I take a 7-day vacation, can't comment. So anyway, let's get a beat going before we get into it. Good evening, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas. In a week, it'll be a new year, in 1 week from today, for sure. I hope everyone enjoyed their Christmas and time with your family. If you did celebrate Christmas and you received gifts, I hope they are the ones that you were desiring. So welcome and thank you, everyone. Thank you for checking in with me. You know that on Sundays from 7 o'clock until we drill down and get some clear understanding and even come up with some kind of solutions at the end, this is Straight Talk, and we are that talk show. We're the talk show that is made for men by men. And the reason why women would want to listen is because this is the best place in the world for men to conduct themselves as men. No female rules about how men are supposed to behave themselves. For decades, men have been listening to women talk about relationships, life, love, career, money, marriage, children, all of these things, personal development, and they've all been said from a woman's perspective. And what makes it more amazing is these women have even talked about what it means to be a real man. They never actually invited a man to the table and asked him what his thoughts were. So Straight Talk was created so that men could have that voice and not be told that they're being misogynistic, sexist, and all those other things. This is a place where men can think and speak and behave and engage one another the way men do. So if women are interested in really understanding how men think and having a men's perspective about life, love, relationships, raising children, all of these things, how we really see things, you won't want to miss it. So as you guys come in, smash that like button. What's going on, a view? Good to see you in the house. Not a Casio keyboard. It's actually, I'm on a Mac, and it's the GarageBand part program that's in the Mac. So made it up in that. What's going on, country boy? Good to see you in the house. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. So as I'm saying, Straight Talk is a place where men really get to express themselves in any way they choose. Sometimes the conversations get a little bit rugged, some arm wrestling. They get a little bit heavy and tense, and that's okay. You know, it's after that, we still are able to sit down and have a beer together, even if we slug it out. So it's happened here. You guys see me on Instagram, God's favorite. Good to see you in the house. If you'd like to call in and join this conversation, which I think is going to be rather provocative, we've had several provocative discussions over the past several weeks. This is going to be the last show for 2021. And my intent is that we go out with us and talk about some heavy, I don't want to say heavy, but something important. And then we walk away with some added perspectives that we didn't have. So if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So that's on Blog Talk Radio. You will be able to call in and I'll be able to hear you on YouTube. If you'd like to join YouTube, I can drop a link. So like this video. If you're not subscribed to my channel, this is a great time to do that. Smash that subscribe and hit the bell and make sure you hit all so that you receive notifications for whenever I am doing a live stream or I drop a video talking about anything. And share this one. Actually, it should also be shared with women. For all the ladies that live in the glory of what they think it means to be a side chick, that is exactly what we're talking about tonight. Should men avoid serial side chicks? And you guys know I always have more than one title I'd like to use. And this one, I had several. So in addition to should men avoid serial side chicks for marriage, right? So do side chicks make good wife material? Are they good girlfriends? Are they good for committed relationships? The other topics were, can a serial side chick ever be a good wife? And one that I don't know if a lot of women think about is the side chick lifestyle, the death trap. So we're going to be talking about that too. The life and death of the side chick. Do they really understand? And, you know, I know women who have been side chicks for 10 years and they brag about the benefits and the married guy got them into their alma mater for a PhD program. He paid rent. He paid bills. He did all these things. And she did that for 10 years, and then she aged out of the dating market. And when her side chick contract, I'll say for lack of better words, when it came to an end for in the guy's mind, she was kind of out on the street. There was nothing she could do. Even if she goes and tells his wife, she's now on her own, literally. So is the side chick a life women want? And I know you may get some women and call in and say they don't care about being married and they don't need a man and all this, blah, blah, blah. Are they lying? So I'm going to share some articles. We're going to look at what are the consequences of being a side chick. We're going to get a woman up here on a video and have her talk about sort of the price she paid for being a side chick. So I see I have a few callers in here, and we're going to start taking them. What's going on? Is that some of the names here. Lord Brett Sinclair. Good to see you in the house. Talking about the side chick, man. Some of them, yes, they don't even deserve the title of a side chick. You know, so let me tell you some of the thoughts that I had about this, that your comment, I get that. So here were my thoughts. And maybe this is a conversation, especially fathers need to have with their daughters, as opposed to just saying, go get your degree and get a job and be independent. And for the record, there's no such thing as an independent woman. Women depend 100% on men for power, electricity, water, agriculture, or food, jobs. What, 90%, 95% or more percent of the jobs women get are in companies that were founded by men? How many Fortune 500 companies were founded by women? How many Fortune 500 companies are all female and out there kicking ass? Zero. Hey, a view, that's a good question, right? So is she the one that is trying to get a sucker? I guess, but, you know, this time run out, right? So here are my thoughts. Women have a very small window of opportunity to find a good husband, like, you know, the best they could get. Yet they are told to pursue college and career before they pursue a man or marriage. When you add the women who are open to being a side chick, more time will slip away from them. I already did a show last week on the wall. And the wall is undefeated. And man, I'm unable to comment on Facebook, but I've got some women who are pretty upset with me because I talked about the wall. I don't know. Do women think the wall doesn't exist for them? I mean, the wall is undefeated. Even if you get married and are happily married, the wall still catches you. You're just smart to get married before the wall comes. The wall calls. Anyway, the wall, it hits every woman at some point. And being a side chick only makes it worse. The side chick or the other woman is the epitome, of being a convenient piece of ass. So, right, should we be calling them side chicks or a convenient piece of ass? When a woman is a side chick, she believes she's benefiting. She gets girlfriend benefits without commitment. And when the guy she's seeing does not comply with some of her demands, she can extort him. Hey, if you don't do it, I'm going to tell your wife, or whatever tactic she uses, right? She's got some leverage. However, while the game is being played, time is tick, 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 tick. Time is ticking. And what's worse, and she has developed a list of bad behaviors like extortion that will never work in a committed relationship. As a result, she either completely ages out of the dating market after she's fired as a side chick, or she's too dysfunctional to be in a committed relationship. And did I mention the wall, guys? Yeah, no, this is not hate. It's like women need to be thinking about these things. They were told that they can do anything a man can do, and they were lied to. And it puts them in too many women in unfortunate positions. And then they scream that there are no good men and that it's unfair and blah, blah. You know, we go down a list. And it seems like then they t- take the young ladies who are under a generation or two under them and use those women to get revenge on men as though men have done something to them. I mean, there are women out there who spend 5, 10 years as a side chick, and when that time is up, they're upset because now they can't get what they want. And look, women can talk all they want about how they don't want marriage. The question is, how many women absolutely positively want to spend their life like a hermit alone? And there aren't too many women. Women get over 45 and they start to understand what it means to be alone. And for a guy, if you meet a woman and you start taking her seriously and you understand that she's been in a number of side chick situations, she may have developed such bad habits that she seems dysfunctional. What happened is she never developed relationship skills. She always had this, if you don't do things my way, I'll tell your wife. That doesn't work in a committed relationship. Like, you need to talk things through. She didn't have to spend time and work things through with them. So before I get into any of these articles and videos, I want to show that someone actually posted a side chick contract. It exists. I'm going to do a screen share. So if you guys are over at IG or even on Blog Talk and you want to see what this contract looks like, come over to YouTube at Ted Santos. I'm going to screen share. I'm going to show a few things that you'll be able to see, but you'll be able to hear them nevertheless, and I'll read parts of some of the articles. So the side chick contract, all right, this is just some wild thing, Jerry Springer, but there are actually a few side chick contracts up here. So before I take some calls, about my story, you mean me having side chicks? I didn't. I was a side dude. I can tell you. If you want to hear about that, I can tell you about some of those. I think some guys may have a false sense of security about being a side dude, just like women have a false sense of security about being a side chick. But if you want to hear some of those, I can share. So, what do we have here? Just want to make sure it's coming through loud and clear. Good, good, good. Yeah, exactly. Of you, they can't transition out of that. Exactly. That's why I use one title. Is it a trap? The side chick. You know, there's a life and death of a side chick. So here is the Jerry Springer Show side chick contract. As your official side chick, her name, let's say Tiffany, I promise to act like I don't speak English when your woman calls my phone. Never post any pictures of you or us on social media. Never reach out to you until you contact me first. Never say I love you. Be freakier than your main chick. Never tell you I have a headache. Always be well-groomed. Never make you listen to anything about my friend's drama. Understand that we celebrate Christmas on December 26th. That's today. Today is side chick Christmas. Understand that we celebrate New Year's on January 2nd. Understand that we celebrate Valentine's Day on February 15th. Act like I don't know you if I see you on the street. Never get pregnant. Never ask to meet your friends or family. Never ask you, does this make me look fat? Never ask you to cuddle after sex. Never leave my toothbrush at your place. Never wear granny panties. Never nag you like your main chick. Only be your side chick. Those are the 20 rules of being a side chick. So, and I, you know, without even presenting this to a woman, I think those, a lot of that are sort of unspoken rules. Like, you know, there's certain things that you just don't do as a side chick. So if anyone wants to use that, let's see, there's some other, man, look, there are a ton of side chick contracts here on Google. This is hilarious. Yeah, hybristophilia, man. The big, no question, no doubt. Hybristophilia, anyone who's listened to me for a while, you know I've talked about that as women who like criminals, guys who are drug dealers, murderers, robbers, and dudes who lie or cheat on their wives. No question. Hybristophilia literally is a mental disorder. Literally. So these women who like, and this has nothing to do with race, these women who like the gangsters, the Al Capones, the mafia dudes, the thug, like the real thug, not the wannabe thug. These are all women looking to get some, they're more sexually aroused. So the dude who cheats, yeah. So a lot of these chicks who are serial, they go from one married dude or they go from being a side chick from with one guy to the next to the next. Yeah, they might be looking to get bills paid and some of that. But not always. Sometimes it may be just straight up just this hybristophilia. And it's sexually arousing for her. So for the guy who's looking and saying, man, that woman, you know, she's fine. Why is she with this married dude? Like, she's with, as good as she looks, you may be much better off not ever being with her, because you will find out why she's not good for a committed relationship and why her bristophilia is something you never want to invite into your life. She will have, if you're a straight up quality guy, she probably ends up cheating because she needs that sort of that dopamine charge that from that sexual arousal from someone who's doing things wrong, out of line. So if anyone is looking for a side chick contract, man, they're out here. Look at this one. Promise to keep my mouth shut about your business at all times. I hereby state that I will have dinner ready on the preferred specified nights upon your arrival. You, whatever your name is, will contribute to the light, gas, and water bill as well as food contributions monthly in the amounts of but no higher than $250 to $500 monthly in order to keep me in line and to make sure you can wash your ass after you have your way with me. I, Tiffany, promise to never speak to nor look at your wife, girlfriend, child's mother, and in turn you will make every effort to make sure we do not end up in the same location. I will be available to you 3 nights a week, and I will specify 48 hours in advance if plans should change. You will not lie and make me feel as though I am more than just a side chick. And I will not introduce you to anyone relevant in an attempt to feel more relevant. As your side chick, I also understand the hours that are permissible to call your phone and or text. Let's see. You are able to text and or call at your leisure. You are not allowed to act jealous. This violates the clause to not make me feel relevant. In an event that your other half contacts me, I am to act as if I am a girlfriend of a good friend and yours, and you will follow up with that friend to play along as needed. I will listen to your problems and keep mine to myself because you don't care. Lastly, you will buy me a gift for Valentine's Day, Christmas, and Mother's Day, but I will accept them 24 to 48 hours after the actual holiday. I will in turn do the things your girlfriend will not, times 10 during those holidays. So those are examples of side chick contracts. Let me take a few calls before we get on and hear from some of the ladies who were side chicks. Take my first call from area code 870-870. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What to do to you? This your boy, Country Boy. What's happening?
Hey, how you feeling, man? What's going on, man? A late Merry Christmas to you, but how are you?
Same to you. I'm doing good, man. I love this topic here because I'm ready to unpack this because look at here. Once she put a street, she put a street to you. I already know that's going to put somebody, they already cringing in their seat right now. But I don't, look. That sound like a prostitute type of situation. I can go get an escort if I got to go through a contract. So why I need with a side chick? You need to explain it to me. But like I told you, Ted, and I ain't scared. I don't want no leftover.
Yeah.
I ain't scared.
Right. And especially the woman who's been a side chick for a couple of different men over time.
That sound like a prostitute. And she ain't no prostitute, but just the concept alone. That's what that sound in look like.
In
I don't know what
ways,
they think this is.
In some ways, it could be a straight-up prostitute.
That's what that sound like. And I told him, the men is already blowing their back out. Well, he ain't paying, he ain't doing this, and he ain't doing that. No how. All he coming for is to get some tail, and then he going about his business. But me, Big Dick Ted, I'm like Triple Six Mafia. I'm on that late night pip. I ain't doing none of that stuff. That what DJ Paul said. I ain't having none of that.
Very cool. Hold on 1 second, man. I want to take a call from area code 323, live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from? 323, you have me on mute or are you just listening? 323, maybe just listening. All right. So we're going to take a call from area code 415. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Ted? It's Alex calling from San Francisco.
Hey, Alex. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I think conversation so far is an interesting topic. I have to say, I'm sure someone else would say the same, but I think these contracts are quite valuable because you don't want your side chick ratting on your main and vice versa. You know, I have to say, I think if you have a contract with a side chick, the value in the contract is the honesty because you don't want her to get hard feelings and contact your wife or your main. And, but I do think that it may require some honesty with your main chick, whether it's your wife or your girlfriend, because, your side chick could get pissed and start getting jealous and there's no stopping that. And so she might contact your main. So unless you have, you've got two choices in my estimation, you can choose to be 100% to be honest with your side chick about who your main is and be honest with your main, or maybe better to maintain such good privacy that your side chick has no idea where you live or who your main is, right? But I think it might be pretty tough to have that level of secrecy, especially with social media these days. You'd have to block your side chick on every fucking platform. It would be really tough. So I don't know. It's a tough question, but I think, you know, you might not be able to find a relationship where your main chick is happy with you dating on the side. That's pretty hard to find. I think in reality, it would be nice to have that, but to find a high quality woman that's okay with you, you know, banging chicks on the side, that's hard to find. However, I do think that's the ideal. So if you can be honest with your main and have side chicks on the side, that is the best situation possible. But if you have a side chick and you can't be honest with your main, I think you got to have a level of secrecy that's pretty on the level of the NSA or CIA there.
Well,
that's my estimation.
And from what you're saying, that level of secrecy, the woman is could easily extort you, right? So
that's right. Once your side's collected enough information, she's got a lot of power, unless she knows that your main knows. So you could lie to your side chick and tell her that your main knows. I don't think that's going to stop the side chick from, you know, exacting some sort of extortion scheme if she felt like it, right? So the side chick has too much power if she thinks she can hold, you know what I mean? She's not going to obey the rules. It's a power dynamic. So you got to somehow, got to have something there. I don't know, man. You'd have to find a way to ensure that she's not going to interfere with your main relationship. And I think the best way to ensure that is either to not care about your main relationship that much, or you most likely will care. So you got to, you know, I don't know the answer, but I think it's a good question to keep open for the remainder of the conversation.
Well, that's one of the things I was getting at is that the side chick may be like, hey, you need to buy me a gift. One of the memes that I put for this topic,
right,
it's a woman saying, side chick be like, why your wifey get an iPhone and I don't? She's on a flip phone. So.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right.
I was just going to say, you may have to buy some gifts, pay the rent, contract said you pay the gas, but you know, you pay the electric bill that you buy.
Right.
Some food.
Right.
So if you're putting money in her pocket, or paying.
Yeah, that's right.
Some
yeah.
Bills,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So she doesn't. So now she's got a benefit from you. You maybe saying if a guy has the means, maybe he's bought her a car. He put her in a
right.
nice. I mean, I know a woman who was living on Central Park West, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
100 yards from Central Park, and or Central Park East she was on. But so, you know, and then she got a car. So as long as she kept her mouth shut, she was taken care of.
Yeah, that's a good solution, I think, just to have some skin in the game for her, so that, you know, she loses out if she tries to extort you. But I think maybe it's more productive for a minute to talk about you in the beginning of the conversation, you're talking about what it's like to be a side dude. And you're right that it has some stigma, because if you're the side dude or the side chick, it seems like a worse position. And it seems like an inferior position almost, but it doesn't have to be that way. So if you put yourself, I'm sure I've been a side dude without realizing it, right? I'm sure I have. I just didn't know it, right? But I haven't to my knowledge, but God, you know, surely at some point I just didn't realize it. But, you know, if you, it doesn't have to be bad. And I guess if you put yourself there, you can kind of think of what, you can kind of think about what it would be like to be a side chick and then see how it feels, you know what I mean? But I think, those feel you gotta have that contract has to be explicit, and you have to be able to point to that contract later and say, hey, you feel like I'm not holding up my end of the bargain, you know. I feel like they could just ratchet it up a little bit here and there, you know. So, you know, just they could just, you know, squeeze you a little bit because they know that you got more to lose because you got a main chick to lose. So here the other solution would be you gotta have something over her, and then it becomes a weird power game. You don't want to go there. You don't want to like. Say,
right,
you know,
right.
Well, if you tell my wife, then I'm, you know, I've got your bank account info or something, you know. You don't want to get there. You want to stop it way before that point. So things have to be pretty hunky-dory for to avoid getting there. But that would be my concern. So
here's my solution to all that.
Yeah.
You go get you some fake accounts, get you some burner this, and go get burner that.
Yep.
If the mafia can do it, you should be able to cover your tracks the same way. You just got to be smart about how you move around out here.
I think that's the solution. You can never bring her to your house. She can't know your address. She can't even know your real name. I think that's the way to go. Just keep everything private.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's really why we go about online.
Yeah. And I think that needs to be part of the contract. Here's what the contract should say. To be specific, it should say if I ever determine that you found out my first name, my middle name, my last name, my kids' names, anything real about me, that I know the contract's avoided because you've done some snooping on me and you know too much now, so I got to go. So you should have a fake name. She doesn't know your address. She doesn't know anything about your kids, your wife, nothing. And then it might work. As long as it's stipulated in the contract that, like, hey, you know, I can't. And as long as it's clear up front, I think you're good. But that's better than most people don't have a main or a wife that have. And again, I don't want to, it's a little weird because it sounds like we're condoning cheating and stuff when, you know, I think that's something to address because, you got to be real too. I think a lot of people these days they're trying to do the polyamory thing or they're trying to be open relationship or whatever it might be, you know, it could be, some Will Smith stuff, whatever it might be, you got to be more honest about it. So I think people are more open about it. And, you know, we can talk so openly about cheating. And I think as long as you caveat with it, you know, tread carefully as ethically as possible, these contracts that we're talking about make it more ethical. And so as long as you're talking about it clearly and ethically, I think it's something that should be talked about more. But again, I don't want to condone, you know, like, shitting on people. You should be as careful and ethical about it as possible. That's my
interesting
for now, yeah.
In my book, I actually talk about a guy, and I've met his wife. He had an agreement with his wife that on Fridays, that was his day to go out and play. Only on Friday, no other day.
Right.
So, and they were married.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think, yeah, day of the week stipulation would be a healthy stipulation because you don't want to constantly, you know, cancel plans on somebody or surprise somebody too much. You want to say Wednesday is my day to do what I want or Sunday or whatever
right.
it might be. Yeah,
right.
That's
so
a good
that
policy.
Was his wife.
Yeah.
So his wife of 20-something years, they had a daughter together, and that was their agreement. They had an agreement. He can do that. I think a lot of people don't realize Bill Gates had that kind of agreement with his wife. Before he married or after, he told her, there are some things you can't give me, and this woman I used to date can give me. You're going to be my wife. She's not, I'm still going to see her. And his wife, I don't know if she didn't have a choice. I don't know how that went down. And so I don't know if she eventually got tired of it and waited till all the children were, you know, adults and then filed for divorce. But that was part of their relationship, that he did have another woman.
See, that's my problem with it. If you're going to have another woman on the side, why even get married? Why don't y'all just, you and the main chick, just do y'all thing and everybody know what's going on to it? You shouldn't even have to bring no contract involved in it. But like Alex said, with all this extortion and all this BS going on, now you got to cover your tracks legal-wise. You see what I'm saying? So
well, see,
I say just leave him alone, period. That's what I say.
Well, if you think the way Gates did it, he didn't have to worry about extortion because his wife knew about it, and he wanted to legally have children who, you know, they are whatever his legacy he leaves behind, they are his legal children. So that's, you know, that's a big part of why marriage exists, so that the children wouldn't be just like bastards. They would be, you know, they'd be able to legally inherit your legacy. So he wanted to have children and a family, so he married. But he also wanted this other woman.
Yeah, and it sounds like to me, you know, he want a piece of extra. So what I'm saying is you're going to get you a top-paying escort for this.
But you don't
Why
have
would you
children.
Mess with a random woman, though? That's what I'm saying. Why
no,
have
right.
a random woman?
He didn't do that. That's not what he did. He married his wife and told his wife, there's a woman he used to date, and that woman he used to date gives him something his wife couldn't give him. You follow me?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I follow. But that ain't what's all going on out here. But I get the concept. I get that concept, though.
But that's what
I get.
That was his agreement with his wife. So there was no extortion because the other woman, his wife, Melinda Gates, knew about the other woman. And, of course, the other woman knew he was married, that there was, you know, he couldn't hide that. As Alex was saying, he couldn't hide his name. So in that case, Alex, you know, that idea of never knowing my identity and children and all that couldn't work for Bill Gates.
Yes,
right.
In
most cases,
we can get away. Go ahead,
Ed.
Sorry about that.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, these days, hiding your name, hiding your name before smartphones and your laptop would be easier. But, I mean, you know, like, you'd have to have a real good system to hide your identity for an extended period of time. And as long as she doesn't want to know and she knows it's not her place to know, that's fine. But, I mean, people get their, you know, every once in a while people are just going to get their feelings all mixed up and they're going to want to know. And then, again, as soon as she knows, I mean, if you've got really strong discipline and you're willing to shut that door once she finds out, then, you know, I mean, hopefully she doesn't find out too much. But if she knows your name, man, good luck. She's going to know. She's going to figure out. A lot of women will be able to figure out who you are, find you on LinkedIn, find you on Facebook, find
right.
you on Twitter or Instagram. It's not that hard. A lot of people have these public LinkedIn profiles for a good reason, to find jobs. So anybody can find you. I mean, game over. If she's got an axe to grind, you know, game over once she finds it on LinkedIn. You know what I mean? So that's a tough one. I think total honesty might be better, and that might involve total honesty with your main partner. Or, you know, as Country Boy was saying, maybe don't have a main, maybe just have a bunch of sides. And if you lose one, so be it. You got a numbers up situation, and you know, if one finds out about the other, that's okay. You might lose two or even three in the process. But I mean, so that's a fair point, and I think that's in some cases that might be somebody's ideal. But I think, you know, statistics show a partner can make your life satisfaction a lot higher, and it's most people want somebody, you know, who's going to be more present, who's going to be there more than one day a week or 2 days a week. They want somebody there 5 days a week, whatever. But there's absolutely no doubt that I think the majority of men and a large fraction of women, they want another, you know, relationship for sexual needs or even just another friend or something, some other close relationship with the opposite sex that's going to cause friction between your main and some other sort of side. So it's a, you know, for those who can make that balance work, you know, all the power to them. It's a tough one. But anyway, Ted, if you can remind us the topic. So the topic is essentially contracts with sides that might work.
Oh, no.
More or less,
no.
Right?
The topic is, should men avoid serial side chicks for marriage? Should men?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I introduced the contracts kind of a tongue in cheek. You know, I was being a little bit funny
right.
because I found that the contracts exist. I thought it was amusing. Right. So I presented that.
Yeah.
Really what I want to talk about is what happens really with the mindset of a woman who's been a side chick for a while. So we talk about the wall. And so there are women who have been a side chick to one guy for 10 years. And
yeah.
she uses up her prime years of finding a husband and then ends up
right.
aging out of the dating market because she was a side chick. But what it, and also see now, listen to what you're saying. The side chick has some power. So if the guy she's seeing doesn't buy her the gifts, or he's not paying certain bills, or and she's not getting what she believes she deserves, she could always say, look, I'm going to tell your wife. I'll expose you. So imagine you're being a side chick for years, and you have that mindset that I always have this power. Now after, I don't know, 10 years of being a side chick, you decide to get in a committed relationship. And how do you now break out of the mindset of extortion, being an extortionist? Like you will, your only way of, your method of getting your way as a side chick is to, you know, threaten that I'm going to tell. And even without saying it, it, you know, there's sort of this, hey, you can't push me, but so far before I retaliate. Right. You get that, right? Now that could develop. So now that woman gets into a committed relationship. How does she now engage a guy without using extortion? Like she doesn't really know how to talk things through. She's now put herself at a disadvantage because her way of dealing with things, if you don't give me what I want, I'll throw a temper tantrum and I'll tell.
And see, and that's really why, you know, dudes say it don't even benefit to even get married. If you know what I mean, if you know you're going to go out there and still deal with a woman that you've been dating to, it only complicates things more for you because everything pooling for the women. So I say put yourself in, you know, at least have an upper hand on with a contract or something before you know what I'm saying, come to some agreement before you start going back to dealing with them like that.
Well, what I'm saying is she makes herself undesirable for a single guy who's available because she doesn't know how to be in a relationship.
Right. And it ain't going to do nothing to hurt her in the long run.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at is that the side chick, for some women, it may look like glory and, you know, it's a glamorous lifestyle to have, you know, this guy pay for things.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a contract between the side chick and the guy who's married.
It
doesn't matter what they agree upon.
What are you talking about, Joe? I just read them, and there are a bunch more. Do you want one?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that you can have all the written contracts you want, but it's not going to be effective because it can't be upheld.
Yeah, if it's not enforced, yeah.
Yeah. So when the girl has the upper hand, if he really cares about the wife finding out, then she has the upper hand. If he doesn't care, then she can expose him all she wants. He'll run circles around the wife or divorce her, find the lawyers to make sure that she only gets half the assets. But this idea where you can have somebody cheat on their wife and say, well, we're not condoning cheating, but if you're going to do it ethically. It's like saying to an arsonist, we don't condone burning down a building, but if you're going to do it, then avoid the cameras. You know, you don't cheat. If you're really dissatisfied with your wife or your husband, get a divorce, stop the messy relationship, stop the tensions within one's emotional self and move on to a new life. And I don't know if most people want a sexual sidekick. Maybe they fantasize about it, would feel it would be nice to have it, but I don't know if they would really enjoy it once they had it, because whoever the side chick or side guy is, they've got the upper hand. They can always tell.
I agree, Mr. Joe.
So,
I better do it.
Yeah. So, and again, to the topic of the show, look, side chicks are not, they're not capable, according to the study that you found, Ted, they're not capable of having a good relationship. If they're going to have a couple of side affairs, if they have more than four or five guys in their life that they fucked, then they physiologically are not truly capable of having a nurturing, healthy relationship. So I think the answer is no, you don't. First off, what guy wants a side chick unless he's really turned on by her? He can't really believe that this ex-side chick is going to be somebody who's going to give him a healthy relationship. I don't see it.
Right.
Indeed.
Right. Right.
Well, so the topic of the show is, you know, should men avoid, or, you know, I mean, yeah, should men avoid serial, you know, cheating, essentially, if you want to call it that. Like, I forget the guy that you're from Montana. I forget your name, but I think what I meant by ethical is, so there's three parties involved. There's you, your wife, and then the side chick. What I meant by ethical is, you could lie to everyone, or you could lie to one of them, or you could lie to nobody. If you got a side chick, you could potentially be honest with everyone and have this arrangement. That's very unlikely, but it does happen with, I mean, according to Ted, it happens with the Bill Gates of the world, or people with lots of personal power. They can leverage this stuff. Now, it might be a net negative for everyone around you. It might be a net negative for your main relationship with your wife. Could cause a lot of tension that's not even worth it, for certain. Don't disagree with that. But I think there is a lot, like, that's why they have this ethical. I mean, there's ways to make it more ethical. Whether it's worth it for everyone is a valid question. But I agree that lying in general doesn't feel good. I think for almost everyone, being in this state of dishonesty is unpleasant, and it's not sustainable. You can't really get, it's just a situation that's worth it. You might get a side chick for a month, but it causes a lot of drama and friction, and the stress is not worth it, whatever. But anyhow, I think
the stress,
you know,
doesn't. Yeah, the stress wouldn't even be worth it between Gates and his wife, even if they have the contract.
Yeah.
That might be considered ethical because they know up front, unless he approached her with it after they got married, then maybe she felt, well, maybe I love him so much. But if she approached her before they got married and she said yeah, then it's ethical. It's stupid. Because she, as soon as she says, I do, she's got half or a significant portion of his assets.
Right.
So as far as she's concerned, she's got him for children, and then she's got him for his assets. And then if he wants to fuck around, she can use that as her excuse to get the assets and have everybody go, oh, poor Linda. But that might be the only ethical part. But to have an ethical relationship with a sidekick, no such thing. Because you're cheating on your wife, or you're cheating on your husband.
Right.
Well, you
being
know,
this adultery, gentlemen.
Well, maybe there's one kind of exception, and I'll tell you, it's Warren Buffett. So Warren Buffett, before he was famous, this might have been back in the like early 70s, he was getting a lot of media attention, and he was, you could say, neglecting his wife. So she ran off from Oklahoma to California with her tennis instructor. And a neighbor, a woman who lived in the neighborhood, knew that Warren's wife ran off. So this neighbor, female neighbor, who was a single, unmarried, I don't know, maybe she was a widow, says to Warren, I know you've got a lot going on in your life and you have children. I will step in every way where your wife serves you. I'll cook. I'll be your lover. I'll help take care of the children, everything. And so she stepped in. And when Warren's wife, when things didn't work out with the tennis instructor, she came back home. And Warren said, I'll accept you, but now you have to accept this other woman. I am not getting rid of her. She's a good woman. She's done really good things for us and the children, and there's no way I'm telling her to walk. So you want to come back? I'm cool. You have to accept her. And she accepted her. Warren Buffett's first wife died eventually, I think within in 20-something. And then he married the side chick. So now the side chick is his official wife. True story.
I never knew that story. I always thought he was the oracle. I don't know if he's from Oklahoma. I thought he was the oracle of Utah or something like that.
Oh, Nebraska, but, right. Nebraska, right. Not
Oracle, Oracle of Omaha. Yeah, Oracle of Omaha. Nebraska.
Yeah, Omaha.
Omaha,
right.
I should have said Omaha, Oklahoma. Yes.
But I agree with him. If she stepped in and he's thinking she ran away, and I don't know how long it took for her to come back, for him to put those kind of not an agreement, but those stipulations to her, I don't blame him at all. She voluntarily left the family. She abandoned him and the family.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So when they asked him, did he have any regrets in life? He said, I should have gone after his wife. He said, I should have, when she left, I should have went and got her and brought her back home. He said, but I was getting.
Why did he say that?
They asked him, do you have any regrets? He said, that's my one regret.
Well, I know, but why would he have any regrets if he had somebody to fill in for her?
I
would have thought his regret was bringing her back. Okay, so
nobody
knows. All right.
That's what I'm just telling you what he said. Those are the exact words that came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
That's why I put the story.
Okay.
And then when he finally married the wife, someone did a whole write-up on how she ended up being in his life. So I read the article and I heard him interviewed and talking about his regrets. It was a lot. I don't want to say lot, but I saw it on some TV show. He was being interviewed.
That's interesting.
He loved his wife. That's why he accepted her back.
Hmm.
So let me ask you fellas this. How you guys feel about the side chicks being something like a harem or concubines for a man?
Being part of a harem? And the guy's married?
Yes, sir. And
yeah, concubine.
Concubine. That's what I want to know. Either married or...
Is he married?
You know, somebody married or dating. I just put that out there.
Oh, okay. If he's married, no. If he's not married, fuck as many chicks as you want.
Well, that wouldn't be a harem or a concubine. That's just a guy being a player, that's all.
What's an open polygamy type of marriage? Because I need you guys' input on that. If you dealing with nothing but the so-called side chick.
So there's some people in their culture, I forget, maybe it's Abu Dhabi, he's probably a king now, not the prince. He has two wives, and one of his wives is for the public, and the other wife he doesn't take into public. And the wife he takes into public is absolutely gorgeous. I would assume the other one is also, but she's not a public wife. So in that situation, I don't think he has a concubine. And as Tony G saying, concubines are for kings, pharaohs, and emperors. But that guy definitely, as a king, has two wives legally, and it's part of his culture. So if it's not part of your culture, if you're living in a country where, you know, in Africa, I forget which country, there's an African king that takes a new wife just about every year. And about 2,000 women come outside of his, I guess, in a courtyard of his palace. And these women, since little girls, have been trained how to do this specific kind of dance so that on this day that he chooses a new wife from this crowd of women, they know how to do this dance. And every year he chooses a wife. So he's got quite a concubine now.
Okay, Ted, well, let me ask you this then. What about in the countries that you lived in? Because now I was told that some of those tribal people still, you know, the men still have a couple of wives per tribe or something of that nature. Maybe you can break that down.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't live with any tribes like that or even be exposed to it. No.
Okay. Okay, but so you saying that the side chick is comparable to a prostitute? That's basically what you and Mr. Joe telling me then.
If she's doing it, so there are women who, let me play this video of this. I want to do so you guys can hear what women think of being a side chick.
Because you are, we're going to give you another exclusive girl chat segment.
Hey, just tell me, can you guys, is this coming through clear or is it echoing?
I can hear it clear.
Okay, no echo? Okay, good, good. All right.
Because, girl, we ain't done chatting yet. Uh-uh. Ladies, class is in session because a recent Huffington Post article broke down Side Chick 101 by listing out the, quote, 10 rules for the other woman. The list was given to the author by a male friend who had been cheating on his wife and included rules such as, do not mention my wife, anticipate frequent changes in our plans, do not get emotionally attached, and an unplanned pregnancy will not force a relationship commitment. Woo, child. Ladies, what do you think of this cheater's code?
Wait,
you guys, this is a long list, man.
If you Google right now side chick contract, they actually exist online. Like, you can snapshot it.
Wow.
And there's rules in there. They exist. They're literally called side chick contracts. Now, my bigger question is, are there rules for the man? Because I hate that there's always pressure put on the woman.
Yep.
But, like, I hope the side chick is like, yo, my dude, these are the rules for you. You can't ask these things
right.
of me. There are certain things that are not required of me. I'm just the side chick. I ain't your wife. I'm not only your side chick. I value
you.
That's to who I want to hang out with for the night. And I may want to upgrade. Yes, I may want to upgrade to main chick with somebody else. With all those things being said, the bigger question is, what do you think a man should do if the woman does not abide by these side chick rules? What, I mean, the reality
he's going to kick her to the curb. He's not going to stand for it. He wants these rules. First of all, I found these rules were fascinating. I thought it was really interesting that, you know, like, you can't call me at a certain time. You can't expect me to be around for holidays. Don't bring up my wife. Like, somebody sat down.
You know what that sounds like, though?
You guys. But that sounds like he is paying her. He is taking care of her. That sounds like.
So that's what you were saying, Kendrick, right? So he's, this is part of the reason I'm playing the video, right? So some women go into this situation to be kept, to be taken care of. But let's see what else they have.
Like a kept woman side chick.
Yeah.
Now, you paying a certain lifestyle. That's what that sounds like, to put those type of
like
rules.
Like he's a sugar daddy? Right. But actually, in real side chick code, that actually is the rules for side chick code, too. You don't, there are women that do that willingly, Lonnie, without getting paid for it. That's the crazy thing. But here's the part I don't understand is that this side chick rule also applies to somebody who just wants to have fun with you and not have time. There are women that also just want to be in a relationship, satisfied and single, and date, and not need you to expect me to be around for the holidays, not need you to think that I'm emotionally attached to you. Like, these rules, I just hope that if there's a woman out there who's dating a man and doesn't want any emotional ties to it and lives by these rules, that they're not considered a side chick just because of that. Does that make sense? I also think women
I'm saying
these rules can also be, these rules can fit for women who just are dating a guy who's not married. They're just dating. That doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. You can abide by these rules, and it doesn't mean that you're looking down on yourself either. Because I remember when I was dating, and I was like, I don't want to be in an emotionally tied relationship. I don't need you to expect me for the holidays. We're just having fun. And
so she just wanted some dick, that's all.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. You shouldn't have to have no contract to get dick. You the dude, you know what I'm saying? Of course you're going to know some women from around the way, Teddy. You just need to get that off.
I'm playing this so you can hear how honest women can be. So.
Yeah, they just telling it on themselves.
Right, exactly. Hold on.
And then they telling the whole world how they getting down out here. That's the true part.
And this is from this year, January of this year. Hold on.
See?
I'm myself any less serious.
Yeah, you talking about having a good time. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we discuss the fact that this man thinks that he's in power trying to get her to follow these rules? Dude, this woman could wreck your whole life.
And Alex, this is what you were saying by it being a power, and that's what she's getting at here. And this is what I was getting at. So imagine a woman having this mindset, like, just perpetually for years, I can just do what I want and wreck your life, and what are you going to do about it?
Like, what you talking about, telling her what she can and cannot do? You cannot this, you cannot that. And if she decides not to follow, what you going to do?
She has every right to tell her everything.
Yes, and if I in your life, she has any right she wants to at any time of her life to tell the wife every and each detail she has of you.
But I will say,
let's end this real quick with this, because I thought this was hilarious. I went and did the Google search of the side chick contract. And it's actually, in this case, it's the man and the woman both signing it, because it says the cheater on the bottom and the side chick. And it says things like, lastly, you blank will buy me a gift for Valentine's Day, Christmas, and Mother's Day, but I will accept them 24 to 48 hours after or before the actual holiday.
Lord.
Wow. If this is a contract, it needs to go both ways.
Wow. No, well, that's
right. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Right.
So,
that's just crazy. Because if that's the case, Ted, then what's keeping her a legally binding contract from being my personal sex slave? What's keeping her from becoming
it? Hey, what's going on, Ted? Give me one minute. Hey, what's going on, Kendra? Give me 1 minute, Ted.
All right, okay.
This is crazy, Ted. What's keeping her from becoming a real main sex slave? You see what I'm saying? If the thing need to work both ways. I just got through listening to him talk.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what I was saying, is that the side chick really is just a piece of ass.
That's it, basically. And you just think of all the wealth and power for men that's been doing this for all the time. This ain't nothing new. This stuff been going on in secret, Ted.
Welcome to Blue Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Not sure how that happened. Oh, you must have. That's you, Alex.
Yeah, that's
me. Yeah, that's me. I called in my laptop too because I was going to make a phone call on my phone. But I wanted to say, yeah, I think you're setting yourself up. If you're a woman or a man looking for a side, you're setting yourself up because you're just putting yourself in a difficult position because the side person's got a lot of power over you. The only way to mitigate that power is not. I don't think a contract will do. Like Mr. Montana said, a contract's just a piece of paper unless it can be enforced in a court of law. So the only technical solution, I think, is like an escrow. But, I mean, does your side have any assets to put in an escrow? And who's the arbitrator of that escrow, right? There's no side chick or side escrow. Maybe it's a good business to start. But unless you've got something like that where she's got skin in the game too, she's got to have something to lose, or the guy's got to have something to lose. So if she's got maybe the best situationship, or the best situation is to have a side who's married also. So then you both have something to lose. So if one rats on the other, they're getting it right back. So that's the then it's a fair playing field. And maybe that's the solution. Now that's harder to find. And again, the ethical ramifications are complex and probably, you know, these things are not sustainable. But, and again, the topic of the show is, should you be a serial, you know, should you have serial relationships on the side? Probably not. But again, human desires are human desires. And maybe the best solution is how to, you know, kind of ethically and sustainably satiate those desires. But it seems like maybe one solution is to only get, you know, have a side where that side has their own main, right? Maybe that's the solution. Then it's a level playing field, and everyone feels like they're on the same page. Everyone feels like they got the same amount of power. They're on the same playing field, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, I think, so when you think about a prenuptial agreement, while there are a lot of women who are opposed to it, when you sit down and go through a prenuptial agreement, you it forces you to talk about things that perhaps you haven't discussed before getting married. And so, a prenuptial agreement, this is a legal contract. It's an addendum to the marriage contract. But, and I'm not suggesting being a side chick or a side dude. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm saying is what that contract for being a side chick does is it forces you to explicitly discuss these are the rules of engagement. Don't talk about my wife. There's an article, and I'll read it to you. This woman was saying that there was this understanding. She was a side chick. And whenever the guy who was married, his phone rang, she literally just got up and went to another room so he could speak to his wife in private. Or if she was driving, she stopped the car so he could get out and talk with. So it's very interesting, the article. But it had a longer term impact on her. And that's part of what I'm getting at. Who's that, Chris?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, Ted?
All right,
yeah,
what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Ted? Women that are serial side chicks, horrible idea to have to do anything with them, you know, particularly try to have a monogamous relationship. You're basically trying to get involved with a whore. Even – I would say it's stupid nowadays for men to even try to date these modern women. They're all man-hating feminist whores. Let them be man-hating feminist whores in peace. Stop trying to ask them for something that's not in their wheelhouse, like a monogamous relationship where they respect you and treat you like a man. It's not going to happen. You probably don't know this, but Steve Harvey's, I think his second wife, was his side chick while he was married to his first wife.
I thought that was his current wife.
I think even the third wife was the side chick to the second wife.
Right.
So, I know the third wife was also the baby mama of like a drug dealer, but women side chick contracts won't work because marriage contracts won't work. Contracts where women sign for financial reasons, like loans or student debt loan. Look at that. They want it all erased now because they don't want to pay it. Why? They don't want to abide by the contract. They don't like their feet being held to the fire. They don't like responsibility. They don't like accountability. So any contract with a woman is not going to work. They're just going to look for some man to try to get them out of it.
Look
at marriage.
The contract with the side chick is more like a joke. I mean, I presented that just to show that people actually have this conversation.
Right. It's a joke, but to women, it's not a joke. They honestly think that these are legally binding. That's how stupid they are. I mean, if you go back and you listen to those women talk, they actually talk as if it's a real contract. They are that fucking stupid.
Those contracts won't work because
marriage contracts with them won't work. They walk away from marriage. So, of course, you give them any kind of power, and women don't know how to wield power. They can't do it. So if you enter into a side chick agreement with them, like Joe said, it's going to go horribly south because, number one, they could get pregnant. And when they get pregnant, trust me, they know you have more to lose than them, so they're going to dangle that that baby in front of you, and they're going to use it to wreck your life. You talk about feelings. Well, we know that women, the longer you stay with them, the more attached they get, whereas we men, we can walk away. But for them, you know, now they become emotionally involved, and now they're going to eventually want you to leave the main chick for them. That's happened several times. I mean, you can look throughout history and look at all the women who, you know, tried to kill their lover or something because he wouldn't leave his wife, or tried to kill the wife. It doesn't work with them. These modern women, they're just gone. And you have to be an absolute idiot to try to date one, to try to marry one. Something There is something inherently wrong with you as a man if you're doing that. You, the writing is on the wall. They tell you every day about how they are, how fucked up they are, how much of a, you know, how high their body counts are. You have to be an absolute idiot to try to date one or enter in any kind of monogamous relationship with them. You're just stupid. Side chicks, they, and, oh, let's not talk about their body count. Remember, after five, the gig is up. They can't pair bond. And these serial side chicks, if you think you're the first guy that she's been a side chick to, nope. Nope. So when she does get ready for marriage, she's incapable of pair bonding because all she knows how to do is get fucked. She doesn't understand how to be in a proper, healthy relationship. And she has all that male DNA competing inside her brain. She only knows how to get fucked. And because she only knows how to get fucked, she requires a bigger and bigger and bigger dick to the point where eventually she's going to need a man with a dick the size of an arm to satisfy her.
Oh, a horse. But yeah,
no,
man, once they for the streets, they for the streets.
Horses won't even satisfy most of these bitches out here.
Once they for the streets, they for the streets. Now, that's what the OG told me, Chris. So I'm listening to words of wisdom.
All right. So I want to read a quick article. This one is, the title is An Absurdly Honest Confession from a Former Side Chick. Her name is Johanny Ortega. She says, I'm a masochist for writing this. So she said, my life-altering decision to change my habit of picking the same unavailable man saved my life and heart. I wrote about it, and then I started thinking about the word unavailable, how easy it could be misconstrued. I would bet that many would assume unavailable meant a married man because that would be the obvious reason. But the frogs that broke my heart on the way to find my guy were unavailable for other reasons. They simply didn't want to commit, or at least not with me. One of them was married. I never wanted to be someone's number two. I don't know of anyone who grows up with that as their goal, but for whatever reason, I became superbly efficient at filling the gap someone else left open, while not being the main filling. This is not something I'm proud of, and don't take this as me bragging about it, because I will always feel guilty for saying yes to him. I was a masochist, and maybe I still am, but not in this manner. No, never, not again. My conscience wouldn't let me anymore. It's funny when I think back at all the things I told myself to keep me from feeling guilty. He's not going to leave his wife and kids. It's not that serious. He tricked me into loving him, so it's not my fault. I'm not taking anything away from them. After a while of telling myself these things, I became numb, and my conscience quieted down, and I would sleep never with him because nights were reserved for the wife soundly. I'm a jealous woman, stereotypically Hispanic jealous, but I had become somebody else who didn't care about sharing a man. Never in my life would I have imagined this would be me. Mistresses are supposed to be fancy, beautiful, nonchalant, and uncaring. I was none of these things. But there I was in an empty bed with an unread text on my phone saying, I love you, from him. At first, I waved him off. You have a wife, I told him. I don't believe someone could love two people. Dos mujeres, un camino. It's a play, maybe even a TV show. It means two women on one path. So dos mujeres, un camino was the only reference I had. And that story didn't turn out well for any of the characters. But according to him, it was real. He was feeling it, and I ended up believing him. When we started seeing each other, he tricked me into believing he was single. In those days when a man approached me, I would look for two things, his ring finger and the lighted skin where one was used to be. He didn't have either. I didn't even ask. I fell for his charm, smile, and deep conversations. The single guys I knew talked about TNA and video games. Nothing was titillating about their conversations. Not him. He was smart, sophisticated. He was different. Little by little, at the speed of wind rips a dry leaf from a tree and it flutters to the ground, I came to like him. After that, I lusted for him. And before he had texted those three words, I was sure I had been feeling them myself. But I kept this information secret. I knew I wasn't supposed to fall in love. Baddie mistresses in the telenovelas, those are the Spanish soap operas, telenovelas and Samantha from Sex and the City taught me you don't fall in love. So, and this is this, I'm glad she mentioned Sex and the City and telenovelas because so many people say that show Sex and the City never affected young girls, but she's going to show otherwise. Article goes on, I must admit, I want it to be Carrie. I never watched it, but I think that's one of the characters in the movie, Carrie. So she said, I must admit, I wanted to be Carrie with her penchant for shoes, New York, and writing. Her character fits me the most, but without planning it, I turned into Samantha. To fill her shoes, I couldn't care about him, about his family. This was just sex. The benefits of being a mistress. There are zero benefits to a side chick falling in love, yet I did. It turns out my inclination towards Carrie was too strong to ignore. I'm also a lousy liar and have the worst poker face in the world. He saw right through me, and I confessed I loved him too. He was elated, and everything was horrible from then on. It's like the heart and brain align to form a trajectory of a traditional relationship path once the words I love you come out of the lover's mouths. I wanted more. I yearned to walk that progression with him. I was seared in my brain and taunted me each night because I knew I would never walk that road, at least not with him. I was a masochist for pain. Maybe I'm still am for writing this. After the second year, so man, she's 2 years into this. Listen to this. After the second year, when we were most comfortable with each other, he told me I was perfect. Wishing to hear a compliment because I'm a Leo and I love him, I asked why. He said when he spotted me that first time, I was alone without friends, quietly reading a book. You're the perfect mistress, discreet, he said. I took this as a compliment and worked even harder to be better than perfect because I'm an overachiever. When his phone would ring, this is what I was talking about, when his phone would ring and we were driving, we'd pull over. He would step outside quietly and find a spot under a shade to talk. He didn't want the echo of the car in his voice because if she knew he was driving, she would send him to get something. And this was our time to spend together. I was quiet as a mouse when it would ring in my apartment. I would turn everything off and walk away from whatever room he was in to give him privacy. The echo in the bathroom is too big. Is a big giveaway to the wife that her man is hiding something. So I would leave so he wouldn't get caught. Maybe the writers who've written about these scenes have never been mistresses because if they had, they would know that it is the mistress who leaves the room. I became like a Maslow dog when I would hear his phone ring. The motions became automatic to me. Eventually, I stopped thinking about why I was doing them and just salivated. I mean, left the room or stopped the car when his phone rang. My guilt, you may ask. After 2 years, it was tucked away neatly in a perfect square in the box found in the back of my head where the rest of my failed relationships went. I shoved it there because I loved him. It was the perfect mistress. It wasn't until years later when I was with my new boyfriend who would eventually become my husband that I realized how second nature this phone call routine had become. Early in the morning, while we were still in bed, his phone rang. He has this thing where he sends good morning texts to his children. This time, one of them called. Upon hearing the phone, I slipped my legs out of the comforter, touched the carpet with my toes softly, and headed towards the door. But before my hand left the bed, he grabbed my wrist. "Where are you going?" he asked. He had pressed the answer button and was looking at me super confused. She said, "Let the puppies out." It was a lie. I was going to sit on the couch with my knees tucked underneath my chin to look at my Facebook feed and wait till his phone call was over. I'm a bad liar. He patted the indentation, just vacated, stay. One word was all it took. It didn't break my habit. I would need one more year to break it. Wow. Man, she had been trained by that married guy. She said, but one word woke me from the spell. It shattered the Samantha costume I'd been wearing for far too long and left me vulnerably naked, but real and happy. Let's see if I can. Many years after I left my unavailable fog, he emailed me. Oh, so the married dude emailed her later on her birthday, and she just said no. So, yeah, I'm not going to read the rest. But anyway, so that's an example of the impact that being a side chick has on a woman.
Yes, it has a negative effect on women. It's the only thing to ever have a positive outcome on a woman is to get married and be a wife and do it at a young age. That's it. These women can fight it all they want. They're just going to hurt themselves mentally and financially. And then they're going to blame men for it. Being a side chick doesn't work because what happens is eventually you age yourself out of the marriage bracket.
Exactly.
Or you increase your body count so high that you're unable to pair bond. So even if you're still within the marriage age bracket, you can't do it because you can't pair bond.
Well, there's also a woman who's been a serial side chick. If the man is not doing what she wants, like, hey, you need to buy me a gift, you need to buy me a car, you need to pay the rent, whatever her demand is, if he doesn't do it, then she can always threaten, I'm going to tell your wife. So now she gets out of the whole side chick business and decides to go into a committed relationship. And she still has that mentality of, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to tell, I'm going to leave, you know, all that stuff. And she'll just be bringing dysfunction to a committed relationship. And then that becomes the woman who says, well, he just couldn't handle me.
You're absolutely right. And that's why I said earlier, women are incapable of responsibly wielding power. As a side chick, you have a lot of power over a married man. But what happens is they turn it into extortion.
That's the word I used. That's the word I kept saying. They extort that man. Exactly. But then, as you guys were saying, then now she's just a prostitute.
Right.
Oh, no, they were always prostitutes.
But like Chris saying, if you're looking at it from that aspect, a marriage, well, of course that's what they're saying, like Chris. You would think a man would just go get him a top paying escort, go to the escort service. Then the, you
right.
know what I mean? Then to be dealing with that.
So now let's look at something else. I want to look at something else in this. So the perpetual side chick, some of them do exactly what you said, Chris. The married guy, you know, her value, she doesn't have the same beauty she used to have. So he trades her in. He gets rid of her. And you want to tell my wife, who cares? He gets rid of her. He gets a new side chick. or he goes straight for a little while. But that now the side chick sees that dating, she's not going to make it in that. So she ends up getting pregnant, or, you know, she becomes a side chick for some other dude and with the intent of getting pregnant. I mean, there are literally stories of the side chick getting pregnant by a married man and the wife murders her because she wouldn't abort it. Or the guy, the husband, murders the side chick because she wouldn't abort it. But imagine the women who actually end up having the baby. I just wonder, are they having babies because they know they've aged out and there's no way that no one is going to marry them? And they end up putting a lot of pressure on that child that, I'm your mother, you can never leave me. If it's a girl, she turns it into a mama's girl who always follows mommy wherever she goes. If mommy moves across the country, she moves too. That she ends up not being able to be in a healthy relationship, especially a marriage. Or if the guy is, it's the, you know, husband's son. Yeah, and I think, and then if the child is born and you're a side chick, a lot of those women don't understand the damage it does psychologically to that child.
Right. I mean, it's like I said, nothing good comes. And here's the difference. I'm okay with polygamy, right? Because I don't think men were meant to have just one wife, right? Men are capable of juggling several wives. Middle Eastern men have been doing it for centuries. And the families, they still have strong, healthy families. And all the children from every wife still treat each other as family and they love each other, right? They don't have any problems with it in Middle Eastern. But you come over here to this Judeo-Christian side of the hemisphere that white men have set up, and they instituted this monogamy, this whole Disney bullshit that we have to live by, and that's why, and it doesn't work. They still want to piss on us, but they know what the Middle Eastern men are doing is right, because the Middle Eastern men, they have multiple wives. They can go to a different woman every day of the week if they want, and that's not a side chick. That's still his wife. He still loves that woman, right? But no, these children from the side chicks, yeah. The sons grow up to be son husbands because the son now has to provide the mother with a house. Look at all these NBA and NFL players. What's the first thing they do when they sign their contracts? Oh, I got to buy my mom a house. Because the mama usually was some side chick whore who chose poorly when she did choose to be a side chick, but she never got married. And she was struggling financially. So their first thing they have to do is to take care of a woman who should have already had her future secured by picking a proper man in the first place. So it doesn't work well.
Yep.
There's a running back who went number one in the draft. He won, I think he won Heisman twice. Won national championships, everything. He ended up getting kicked out of the NFL because his mama treated him like he was her husband and kept showing up to his football practice and created such a disturbance that the team just said, nope, we want him out of here. His name is Trent Richardson.
What Tony G said, well, men should realize that side chick represents a fantasy in the first place. Who wouldn't want more than one woman to adore him, more than one dipping hole?
That's exactly why I said white men have shit fucked up, because Arab men do it just fine. Arab men practice polygamy, and they are just fine. It's white men that have instilled this Judeo-Christian bullshit monogamous belief that is fucking society up over here in the Western Hemisphere. And I secretly think white men are jealous of Arab men.
Just briefly, Chris. If that was to happen, that would make the bigamy laws null and void, right?
Well, they pretty much are. Mormons get around them all the time.
I mean, for the majority of us, that's what I mean.
But something like that. If you want to get around them, all you got to do is do what the Mormons do.
So, yes, Kendrick, you'd have to change those laws. You'd have to take them off the books. But for those men in the Middle East to have more than one wife, they need to be able to afford more than one wife. So not everyone has more than one wife, only the men who can afford
it. No, not everyone. Not everyone has – no, you're absolutely right.
So if they change those laws, Kendrick, in the U.S., you would have to also say the same thing. You can't be a man just out here saying, I want to have four wives, and you can't even afford one. And then having children.
But then you
would just be asking the state to take care of your wives.
Not if you're a man that got money.
Why does the man have to have a responsibility of having certain income to marry more women? Why is that much pressure or that much onus being put on him?
No, you don't have to. I mean, you know, as long as you give the jobs to the women, but if the woman ever wants to stay home, I mean, you can work things out, you know, where two women work and two women stay home. You know, there are lots, if you had four wives, but if you only had two, and they have children, and you're depending on the women or the state, you know, what if she wants to stay home and raise the children? So who's going to work?
Well, somebody's going to have to work, obviously. But what I'm saying is no law should be created that stipulates a man has to do anything.
Yeah, I guess the women
We live in a world where women want equality. So if you're going to create that law, then you have to create the law for women.
Well, I think it would be bad to do that because I think what's coming down the road, women are not going to like it. So I don't think it would be good.
It doesn't matter. They wanted equality. So
yeah, but
they wanted equality. So if you're going to create that law for men, you have to mirror it for women.
That's going to be undone. That's being unraveled as we're speaking. So women just don't see it because they don't look long term. But it is unraveling. So I wouldn't want any laws that help keep this in place, but it's falling apart. Pandemic was just like one chink in that armor.
Yeah, it's a bad idea, but yeah.
I mean, men could just stop giving women jobs, right? And if they don't like it, start your own company. Stop begging men for jobs. I mean, if you really are in the, you can't be independent if over 90% of your jobs come from male-founded companies. Like, right? This is not independence.
Well, not only that, if all your male, your manual labor is still dependent upon men to do it, you're not independent. You're not as strong as you are.
Right. They 100% depend on men for roads and bridges, the buildings they live in, the power, the water, the food. So the only way to get around that is to pack up and leave and go do your own. So and then they would be oppressed by work.
They'd be oppressed by each other. They would like it.
Well, remember I played that video from 1976 where one of the women said, my fear is eventually women are going to be oppressed by one another.
Yeah, I'm the one who sent it to you.
No, did you send me that? Okay.
I did.
All right, cool.
Yeah, that is true. It's true. It's true. And you know, it's sad because that's how all women still feel, you know? When you get some women who say, you know, I don't have that many female friends, or why? Because I know how women are. But when they get around other women, they won't say that.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, I don't want to distract too far from the topic. But yeah, side chicks, yeah, horrible idea, dating them, marrying them, whatever. And they, no matter how long or how much they agree upon being a side chick, they're always going to want to replace the main chick because that's how women are.
So let's hear some out of her own mouth. And this woman, as you will see on YouTube, the wall has come for her. But she's going to talk about what it was like being a side chick.
Hold on. Hey, Ted, you made it. You made a big YouTube. You're now getting spammed in your comment section. So, yeah, you officially made it.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I don't want to keep you too long. So if you want to know about my side chick days, keep watching. So I think it's important to say that I didn't even realize I had the capability of being a side chick. I think when I was a side chick, I don't even know if the word was side chick. I don't know what it was. I was dating somebody who was also dating somebody else at a particular time in my life, specifically my mid-20s. I was introduced to him through a mutual friend, and at the time we were... introduced, him and his girlfriend were broken up, his longtime girlfriend. They had been together for years. At that particular time, we were at like a barbecue or something. They weren't together. I knew that he had someone that he had been seeing for years on and off, and that was his status. I was single. I probably been dating whoever, but I knew that was his situation when we first decided to exchange numbers. I would say that we probably kicked it, went on dates, went out to eat, went to movies, chilled at each other's houses for probably about 2 or 3 months while he was unattached or while he was broken up with his girlfriend. During that time, I don't think either one of us were really entertaining anybody else seriously, but obviously I'm sure he was communicating with her. I probably was communicating on the side with whoever, but we were definitely, I was liking him more than anyone else I was seeing at the time. And I would say about probably the third month, he didn't explicitly tell me, but his behaviors and patterns started changing to lead me to believe that he was back talking to his girlfriend. At this point, I'm not going to lie, I kind of have feelings for him. I was kind of hurt that, you know, his behavior started changing. I had kind of seen myself kind of moving into this position with him, like we're going to be together and things of that nature. So when he started falling off and falling back, my feelings were hurt. I was disappointed in myself for having feelings for someone who I knew wasn't emotionally available, barely physically available because he lives in a different city. But I just think that's where I was in my life at the time, where I wanted a relationship. I wanted a steady situation so bad, and he was a good guy. I loved what he did for a living. I loved the time when we did spend together. It was fun, and he was funny, and we had similar sense of humor that I knew what I was getting myself into. I wasn't prepared for the fallout of what I was feeling when I realized that he was going back to be with his girlfriend. So I don't even remember if we specifically had a conversation. I probably addressed him finally when things started to change to where I knew he was back with her. I feel like he felt bad. He wasn't just totally an asshole about it. He had remorse for how I was feeling, but at the same time, he was definitely having his cake and eating it too because he wasn't really losing any sleep because he had somebody back in his bed, the person he was with before me, and at this time, they were actually back, you know, in a relationship. So I'm technically, at this point, talking to a man who is a boyfriend to somebody else, not just off and on. They're back together in a relationship, and I couldn't find myself to be able to break the situation off. But
I want to comment that on that other video I played where one of the women said she liked the idea of the contract, at least verbally, being able to discuss it, where she wouldn't be a side chick, but she was just looking for dick. She didn't want the commitment. She didn't want to do any of the girlfriend stuff. She didn't want any of that stuff. She didn't need any bills paid. So I would, even though that's being a whore, she was being responsible for the position she put herself in. What this woman is doing here, and I've heard a lot of women do that, is say, well, I had feelings and there's nothing I could do about it. Like just making yourself into a victim because my feelings made me do it and there was nothing I could do. Even though she knows exactly what situation she's in. And it sounds like she basically was, she was just a piece of ass.
That day, law, she was. There ain't nobody putting no pistol to her head, Ted, and told her that you going to do this. Nah, you did it because you wanted to do it. The devil ain't made you do nothing.
Right, right. Right. So what so what I'm getting at, and if we get, you know, the title, what she's showing signs of as a side chick is being irresponsible. Like, there's nothing I could do about it. I had feelings.
And narcissism.
And I had feelings, or, you know, some women say, well, I needed my bills paid. So, you know, she, so that means that woman was living above her means and needed to be a side chick to get her bills paid. So whatever the excuse is, it's lousy.
I found myself able to at least address him about it. I'm trying to figure out if he was the one who suggested that we continue to see each other after he got back into his relationship. I more so think it was a mixture of both. He wasn't trying to have me necessarily go away, and I was still making myself available to see him and talk to him, even if it wasn't so much as it was before, because he had a whole girlfriend now, or, you know, my feelings were hurt, so I wasn't giving him all my time and attention, but I was still entertaining him occasionally, or if I visited the city he lived in, was still considered seeing him. I think it all came.
She was 100% available to this guy. And Tony G, right, OPP, right? I remember that.
Into a head for me when I was actually in the city that he lived in, and I was at his house, and this was when his girlfriend wasn't in town, and I just remember being there in the house, like, I feel, like, disgusting. I feel, is she going to come in the door? How am I even going to sleep in this place knowing that there's somebody else's tampons in the bathroom? Like, whole ass someone else lives here that's not me. I was so...
No one can force you to be in this kind of situation. You know you're walking into a house where another woman lives. I mean, that's, and to now say I felt bad or guilty, it's just hard for me. This is all coming down to responsibility. So, yeah.
Can I say something, Ted?
Go ahead.
She tried to say that it was a guy who, you know, she pretended that she can't remember who wanted to keep things going. Now that she was back with her, the guy was back with his girlfriend. It was her.
Right.
She couldn't break the ties with him, so she wanted to keep him going. And he probably didn't want to hurt feelings, or he probably had some dirt on him and didn't want to, you know, ruin things with his girlfriend now. So he figured that, you know, hey, I'll just, you know, do whatever I can to appease her so she doesn't blow my spot up.
Yeah,
She said when she went over to this house that she was feeling bad because, you know, she was thinking about the other one. No. She was jealous. She was looking at how good the other woman had it, and she wanted to replace her.
Well, right. See, so if anything, she had to see the situation for herself.
Right.
Right. So it sounds like she just made herself a piece of ass from the beginning. Because the way she was talking, yeah, we were just hanging out, and, you know, we were just doing stuff together. What she wasn't, it sounds like she wasn't really, this is that whole, I don't need a man, I'll just hang out with you, and now I'm a side chick, and this is the result. So really,
yeah, they really want to be
someone.
Yeah, but Ted, it's weird. They want to be whores that men want to marry. That's it. They want to be prostitutes and prostitute as much as they can and expect us to accept these high body counts and you know, all this dick that has been in and out of their lives. And then when they want to, when they're ready to do it, say, okay, you can marry me now. What? No.
But it don't work like that.
Yeah, no. Nobody's going to marry you. Nobody's going to marry you, you know, after you spent your whole 20s riding the cock carousel. You spent your whole 20s going to the club Thursday, Friday, Saturday, getting fucked by different men Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, you're going down a different path. This is a different path. That's a different
right.
topic. Hold on.
But anyway, yeah. The side chick is not going to work.
Right.
Delusional, And I thought, you know, because he allowed me to be in his space, because he trusted me to know where he lived, because he trusted me access and gave me access to certain parts of his life, that that must have meant something, that I must have been something to him, not just somebody he was using for whatever he was using me for. But
and that, this is another thing that men have to stop accepting when women say, you were using me for something. She was, look, women want sex. Like, whether her sex drive was as big as the guy's, it doesn't matter. The guy was available for sex, and she was available for sex. And she understood and accepted the terms. So whether you're a side chick or a side dude, the woman understands that part of this relationship is sex. And if this woman here talking stopped having sex with the dude, he would have just stopped talking to her. It would have been that simple. So no one forced her to have sex.
Oh, I have this position in his mind because he allows me this or gives me that or does this to make me feel like he really cares about me too, when in all actuality, he was with someone else. And it wasn't always like that. Times weren't always where my conscience or my gut convicted me to where I was like, what am I doing here? I mean, we would go out to the movies. We would go out to dinner. We would go out to do different activities where, you know, I felt like he wasn't hiding me. I felt this sense of like, look at me. I'm getting all the benefits of dealing with a man without all of the headaches of dealing with a man, because this man is cheating on somebody. That somebody just happened to be me.
In other words, she didn't have to be responsible for anything. No commitment. She could just, it's just what I said, she could have sex and have the benefits of some guy paying for stuff. Because she's not saying that she paid for the movies and dinner and all that. So it would have been a traditional. And Chris, like you were saying, this is what I say to women. The United States is a traditional culture. Women are just pretending that they're not. What they are, traditional. Once you expect a man to approach you, pay for dinners, propose, all of these things are traditional. Women don't want to go 50-50 in a relationship or a marriage. That's because they are traditional, but they're trying to pretend they're not what they, and that's why women want men to be traditional, because that's what they are. They were just lied to and told that they didn't have to be traditional, and you can have it all, and a man will do whatever you want kind of thing.
These people been brainwashed, man, and all of us now just not seeing past these lies. So
you
ain't gonna have no traditional lies. if you've been out here doing untraditional things.
Yeah, but they are still traditional. Like there are no modern. If there are modern women, it's such a small percentage.
Correct.
There are no modern women. They still expect a man to approach and pay for stuff. They want these are traditional women who have just told men, I don't have to do anything. But they're still traditional. We have not moved into a modern society.
Exactly.
And they
will always remain traditional, because you know, they're still going to expect a man to run into burning building to save them. They're still going to expect a man to help them change that flat tire, you know.
And
they're still going to use men for, as utilities.
And they expect men to create large corporations and they can beg for jobs. They don't expect women to do that.
Right. No, you create the corporation and then you hand it over to them. And guess what men have been stupid enough to do? Exactly that.
Yeah, I don't think that has actually happened. It may seem that way for some guys, but they haven't handed any of these corporations over to women.
Well, they're letting them run it. You know, they're giving them the keys to the car.
That three CEOs and I you guys saw, I showed you the GM CEO. She sucks. She's not even good.
Every female CEO has went into just about every female CEO has went into the red.
So, anyway.
I'm ashamed to say that I felt those things, but I was also probably 25 or 26, so.
There's the other thing that women use. I was young and dumb. I was 25.
Right. Well, I was a baby. How old were you? 27? What?
So, but if you see her on YouTube, the wall caught her. The wall called her and did not back down. So, anyway.
Old enough to know better, but young enough.
Uh-oh. Old enough to know better, but let's hear it. Young enough. Let's hear it.
To, for some reason, enjoy parts of the way that it felt to think that I had somebody else's man and whatever else I thought that came with. And at that time, I'm pretty sure I'd heard the how you get them is how you lose them philosophy. So did I ever really consider him boyfriend material because of the fact that he was somebody's boyfriend and looked what we were doing? Most likely not, but I probably still would have tried and been with him still because of the fact that I had invested so much. I'd already crossed so many lines, had already spent, you know, some good times and had seen this relationship in my mind to be one thing that when I met him, I never foresaw that I would be in his house where he didn't live with his girlfriend again. Like, never in a million years did I think that. It already...
She stayed for Dick. That, I mean, that, and she won't say
that's
that.
That's all she wanted. That's all she wanted, that pipe.
Well, there's a sliver of hope. There was a sliver of hope there for her, too, that he would leave his girlfriend and be with her.
I get that. I get that. But she's in it for the dick.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
The whole, if he left, she might want what someone else has. But if the dick was bad, she would have walked.
No, I agree with you. No argument there. No argument there. But then again, if the dick was bad, the guy wouldn't have had a girlfriend in the first place for her to even be the side chick.
Maybe.
When it boils down to it, women want what other women have.
Right. Well, see, she never started out in a real committed with this guy. It was really all from the beginning just about sex. She never had a committed relationship with this guy. So it was easy for him to go back to his ex because he was just hanging out with this chick.
Right, but it's also, and women are incapable of keeping their feelings completely detached from sex. So no matter what, their feelings are going to get involved. And here's how you can tell that women, a woman's feelings will get involved far more than a guy's will. You see men fuck ugly chicks all the time. They do it just because they want that release. You know, women don't have to look good. They don't have to be in shape. You know, it's a release. So, yeah, come on, you fat ugly bitch. You know, don't you tell nobody tomorrow, though. You know what I mean? But you'll never see that with a woman. With a woman, they always got to abide by, they always have this standard, and they're never going to go below that standard. And then even with that standard, that guy still has to somewhat tickle their fancies. He still has to tickle their emotions to get involved. So for women, their emotions are attached right from the start.
Right. Absolutely. Gets them trapped.
And that's too much work for the average man.
This is the whole oxytocin thing. So let's see what else she
right.
said.
Already gone to so many places where I couldn't see. At that point, anything was possible. So it wasn't soon after that trip down to visit him that I knew that I had to end the situation, that I no longer could involve myself with someone who was cheating on their girlfriend, number one. And number two, just my conscience and my gut, all those things had finally caught up with me to where I couldn't ignore it anymore, and the good no longer outweighed the bad. So I knew what time it was. About time that I decided to end things with him. Of course, he wasn't too terribly upset because, in all actuality, it wasn't like he was really leaving her anyway. It's probably best that I decided to kind of essentially bow out gracefully but remove myself from the situation because he doesn't have to worry about, like, you know, I wasn't one of those popping up at the houses, calling at 2 a.m., none of those side chick characteristics. I didn't possess none of those. I was going to do things decent and in order. Now that I look back at it, I'm like, wow, I really sold myself short, but, you know, hindsight's 2020. But
so I'm not 100% sure what she means. She sold herself short. And I don't know if that meant she thinks she could have gotten more out of the situation. I don't know. But that's an interesting remark to make.
He didn't take it too hard. He was cool. Of course, he still tried to linger here and there and message me and follow up with me and text me and then their social media and liking and, you know, things like that. But even that died down because I put the boundaries in place to make him understand that it was in no way okay for him to contact me anymore. And I've learned that when you really are serious about what you say, others have no choice but to be serious about what you say, too. So when I finally meant it, that's what it was. To my knowledge, she never found out. I don't even know if she knows to this day. I never wanted her to find out. I'm happy that she didn't. It's so many years ago. Thankfully, I was able to get out of the situation to not cause as much damage as I could have caused if I kept on entertaining it. But I don't believe she ever failed out.
So you heard what she just said, right?
I feel like some women...
You heard what she said. She put the boundaries up. And she made it okay. She made it known to him that it wasn't okay to keep contacting her, blah, blah, blah. So let me tell you what... Let me translate that from you, from woman bullshit to actual reality, right? What happened was she told him that if you ain't going to leave your wife, then don't come to me anymore. Or if you ain't going to leave your girlfriend, don't come to me anymore. That was the boundary she put up. And he was like, but I just want to fuck. Nah. You going to leave that bitch for me or lose my number. That's what happened.
Okay.
But of course, you know, she's gonna try to make it out to seem like she was the one with all the moral compass and this and that, and she was the one making the right decision. No, she wasn't.
Well, it sounds like he just didn't care. He's like, okay, but if you're walking, let me just see if you're still available. I'll just reach out to you a few more times, and
yeah,
I see you not.
You know, hey. I'm bored on a Friday night or whatever. You know, my girlfriend's out of town. She went to visit her mother. Hey, you want to fuck? Nope. We can only fuck now if I leave my girlfriend. But she's only going to be gone for the weekend, you know, or only going to be gone for the night. No, I don't want to break up with her. I just want to come over and stick my dick in you.
Right.
Up and how they view relationships and dating. They, you know, are okay with dating multiple guys. They're not really looking to settle down, or they don't necessarily have the same maybe standards in place that would permit them from dating somebody who has a girlfriend or who's dating other people. But for me, that really wasn't the case. I mean, I had a high school sweetheart, and then from there, I dated a guy in college. So from the time I was about 16 or 17, to the time I was 22 or 23, I'd only dated two guys. I'd only been with two people. So all of those years, I was in relationships. I was loyal. I wasn't a cheater. I'm not a cheater by nature. That's just.
And so here's what I would wonder. Her high school sweetheart, I wonder if she ever tried to reach back out to him because she hasn't found anything better. But this is where the problem starts with the women older than her. They say, never fall for the first guy. Try your options. And this is how women end up being side chicks, because they have the guy, they have him right there, he's interested, but she's like, oh, I gotta go try my options. And her excuse, what she's told is, well, men do it, so why can't I? And she finds herself in this situation. So now, you know, the wall hits, and she can sing a very different tune. And this is what, you know, Chris and I were saying, that they end up aging out. But this is all hindsight. Like, this is irrelevant that she sees this after the wall hits. So let's see what else.
It's not, you know, who I am. I don't even really know how and why I got to the point to where I was okay with being a person that someone was cheating with. You know, that's just not how I viewed relationships. I viewed them as, you know, sacred, whether you are a boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife or not. If you're together, that's your relationship, you're together. So that was my views for a lot of years of my life. And I was talking to my business partner. We actually had this conversation yesterday. She was just talking about how she's tired of meeting men who are infatuated with her instead of interested in her. And boy, that hit home with me because by my mid-20s, you know, I had gotten so much male attention that I was tired of just men being infatuated with me. And that's what I mostly got. Nothing really stuck. They might have expressed interest, but it's usually to sleep with me, or we really didn't have any things in common, or they just loved the way that I looked, or did that, or did this, more so than actually me. And when I met him, he was another one of those people. In hindsight, I could say that I feel like he was more so just infatuated with me than actually interested in who I was and getting to know me, because if he really knew me, I was never really okay with it, with continuing to talk to him when he had a girlfriend. I did it, obviously, but it never really sat right with me enough to be somebody who could continue to do it for, you know, years and years down the road. So let's talk about it. So I'll definitely never say that I'm proud of any of the things that I decide to share with you guys, especially things that could hurt other people. You know, I told you guys about my abortion. I told you guys about my abuse in the past. As far as romantic relationships, you know, now I'm sharing things like the fact that I have been the other woman in a relationship, and I'm hoping that in my transparency and in my vulnerability that there can be lessons learned and takeaways so that we can help to heal each other, so that we can stop hurting ourselves by the way and the things that we allow, and stop hurting others by our actions. So the first thing I will say is that men only cheat because we allow them to. I know that sounds like duh, but if there wasn't a woman there available for a man to cheat with, then that would immediately reduce the amount of cheating going on. Now, in my situation, it was kind of different because he wasn't necessarily with her in the exact moment that we met.
So the here's the one good thing is that she's being somewhat honest. I guess she's telling her side of the story, right? There are always three sides. There's his side, her side, and what actually happened. What I get is that she's not condoning being a side chick. She's leaving some gaps, and she's not being honest about certain things. Like, it sounds like the way this started is she was just having sex. Interesting that she talked about the amount of attention that she got, and maybe at some point she got tired of it. But she also sounds like she was enjoying that attention. So
exactly.
Getting a lot of attention, being a side chick, these are traps that women don't see until it's too late. So she can only talk about hindsight, and that's really part of what we're getting at. So a woman who's a serial side chick, or even just a side chick, period, she's giving up her best years to find the best possible man she's qualified for. She gives them up to be a side chick, and she gives up a whole lot more. So her ability to actually develop the skills and competencies to be in a relationship, she's given that up too. To be in a situation where, like she described, she goes to the guy's house and there's nothing she can do about that. I mean, she could ruin the whole thing, but then she loses her sex and whatever other benefits she had. And she ends up being by herself. So women playing the attention and the side chick role is a trap, and it takes women down the path until the wall hits, and then they're talking like this woman here.
Yes, and because the advent of social media, it's even worse for them now, because now
they have these phones in their hand and they can get attention from thousands of men to validate themselves. That's what I was telling Tamara the other day. Women validate themselves through male attention. Well, yeah, social media now, they have the ability to validate themselves thousands of times a day, you know, from all these thirsty-something men on the internet. And they work. The fucked up thing is, if they like this, the attention that they get from men, they work to get it by wearing, you know, tight, revealing clothing, right? And then they blame us for giving it to them. It's like you go to work and a woman will wear a low cut, a woman with big breasts will wear a low cut top that shows cleavage, and she intentionally chose this shirt. She knew this shirt would show cleavage. And then if you were to say something like, you know, hey, I like your shirt, sexual harassment if she's not attracted to you.
Right,
but
right.
As long as she's getting the attention from the men she wants, she's fine with it.
So this also, when women find out that they hit the dead end and there's no way out, there's some level of trauma for women. And the last thing you want to do is be that guy who inherits that. That's the absolute last thing you want to do.
I have friends who've done it, and let me tell you, it's they pretend to be happy. They're not, and it's just they're a sad shell of a man, let's just say that, and it's disgusting. I don't even have the stomach to look them in the face. Like, just looking in the face makes me want to vomit because they still pretend to be happy with what they have, and when you know it's not, they're not happy. But they have this facade that, you know, hey, I've got this right here, extremely depreciated asset that you don't have.
Well, interesting. Sean Henley, women only fall in love once. Okay. I don't even know if what they're calling love is actually love.
I don't think most women fall in love once at all. I don't think that's true. I think 50% of women never fall in love because they're not capable of it. The other 50% are capable of it, and they fall in love multiple times. But there's a large fraction of women that don't love men the way that men love women. It's just a different type of love. I wouldn't call it that. I would call it something else, like an arrangement. You know, that's why there's so many situationships.
I would say that what a lot of women are calling love is more like a Hollywood movie, and all it is just biochemical secretions. That's it. It's no different than doing heroin or cocaine. What we call it love, it's just not. Now, the thing about it is that it might take men longer to get there. Well, women, when the oxytocin secretes for a guy, it basically stays in her brain. For a guy, it travels through your entire body. And so for guys, it hits harder. So it becomes, see, for a woman, if it's only in your brain, and you want out, that's just one part of the body you have to, like, kind of disengage, and you want to stop the secretion. But for the guy, it takes much longer because it's not just in your brain, it's in your whole body. It's just –
right. Sean Hensley, I think he's actually right, whereas women don't actually love because – If they could love, then it's something that they wouldn't fall out of so much if they do. We all know that they're the number one reasons relationship end. They end the relationships. They end the marriages. So if they were truly capable of love, they wouldn't fall out of it as often as they do, and they wouldn't walk away from it as much as they do.
So I've said this. And what I've said is that love doesn't create great relationships. Love is a byproduct of a great relationship. So if most women are clueless about what it takes to create a great relationship, she's not vested in the relationship because she's looking for the guy to make the relationship work. And if the guy's doing, if the guy's the only one that has a true vested interest, he's input his money, himself, his time and effort, and the woman just wants to sit there as a recipient. He's doing all the work to make love a byproduct of the work he's putting in. But when both people are doing the work, then love is a byproduct of both of them, not just one of them. And that this is hard. I think because we live in a culture that says love is the answer, it solves everything, and it's so easy to fall in love and love at first sight and all these things. If we start actually sitting back and saying, okay, there are these biochemical secretions, they feel good. If you confuse that with love, you're going to be blinded. So then if you go into a relationship looking for love to make it work, you're in trouble because you're going in backwards. Love doesn't make it work. Love is a byproduct of a great relationship. And if you don't know how to create a great relationship, then the question is, do you deserve love?
Right. A lot of men also equate love with the fact that she chose to be with him temporarily. You know, so they think that because, oh, she chose me to be my boyfriend, to be her boyfriend, she really loves me, and they don't. They just, you know, they're just waiting to hop to the next dick. You're just a bus stop in between dicks.
Right.
But so, go ahead.
But people have to be able to make the distinction between good feelings. Like, love is not this feeling. That's how we've been tricked. Like, people have been hoodwinked, and it's hard to undo that because people believe so much that if you feel good with a person, that's love. But if you can get that love as a byproduct of a great relationship, so if you don't have a great relationship, that's probably not love. It's just a good feeling. And that's a hard thing for people to acknowledge because everyone talks about how everyone deserves love, and I if you can't create a great relationship, and the only way you can get love is from creating a great relationship, then are you qualified to be loved? It's a conversation that's not part of our culture. We've been duped.
It's the fact, Ted, that people have been, like you said, hoodwinked and going in another direction and not passing that knowledge on to their kids. That's what it appears to me.
Right. And so, you know, love will come out of the effort and the commitment you put into that relationship, that investment. And so men tend to put more in, you know, their finances, their time, they're expected to do all this long list of things, and women do not have a list of things they are responsible for outside of sex and cooking. And now I'll have your children, and having the children is indirect because it's not even directly for the man. Children are a liability, and I know women hate to hear that. Those children are a liability. And meanwhile, the man needs to be an asset intellectually, sexually, financially, physically, in terms of safety, emotional safety. So men are not – so if we relate everything I just said to a side chick is the perfect example of a woman who just kind of sits back, and what she's going to offer is sex and food, and she understands that is her role. She's not to ever have any feelings for the guy. She can enjoy all the biochemical secretions of ecstasy, but that's all it is, and she understands that. So maybe another way for men to look at what I'm presenting tonight is most guys don't have a wife, they have a side chick. And that's why about 80% of divorces are initiated by women, because she was always a side chick. And she was abiding by the side chick contract that we had there. And it's the man who's putting in the effort to make it work. And she extorts you in the end, just like a side chick could. You get extorted. So if your wife was really a side chick, if your wife screws up and you want a divorce, just like a side chick, try to walk away and I'll screw your life up. Yes, yeah, Sean Hensley, Mindy, and good to see you in the house, man. Men need to learn to hold back and give room for the woman to invest. Absolutely. No question. She needs to be fully vested in that relationship.
I'll venture to say that men need to make sure that the woman is more invested than he is initially, because we know that we're going to eventually exceed whatever it is she's invested. So you set a high level for her from the beginning, and then you exceed it.
Yep, yep, and exactly. And there are boundaries, and there's a bar she has to work up to. And if she can't, then she's not qualified. So it's like that woman who we were just watching. She was only qualified to be a piece of ass, and that guy understood that. And so when she was saying men are just infatuated and not interested, this is the thing that men need to make that clear to women, that, look, I am sexually interested and I don't see any value that you provide outside of sex. If more men dealt with women that way, women would have to go back and see that there's a huge gap between what they offer and what it takes to make a relationship work, especially a marriage. And I think that would be devastating for a lot of women. It would be a huge wake-up call. And we also need to tell them the same thing in the workforce, that you're not as productive, you're costing the whole country, and it's a matter of national security. Like, all this stuff that you all think you're doing and girl power, none of it is actually happening anywhere outside of your mind. And all the things that you think you're doing for us in a relationship, like, there's a small percentage of women that qualify to be able to say that. So a lot of women try to use those outliers as the rule. They use the exception as a rule and believe, then they all believe they are the exception, which, that's impossible. Then it's no longer the exception, it's the rule. Yeah, stop having sex with women at work. Oh, stop helping women at work. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let them sink. Let them sink. I knew guys who were, and this is off topic, but they worked for New Jersey Transit. It's, the buses that run through all of Jersey. And they have these huge, like, Greyhound-type buses, and they have these big tires. And this woman, these guys were all mechanics, and they hired one woman. They had to, I guess, affirmative action. And she could never lift the tire up. Guys always had to help her. They had to, she didn't have all the tools, so they would loan her tools. And the job was too hard on her body, so they just made her a damn supervisor. But I think she's since been fired. But stop. So if guys would have stopped helping her, she would have found quickly what her place was in that job, that she didn't belong. And even Richard talked about working at IBM and writing programs and stuff. And guys, he said there was one woman in the department, and when she needed help, she would come in that day dressed kind of sexy and blouse buttoned down, a few buttons down, and guys would be happy to help her. So this is the thing that guys need to get. Stop helping them. That's where you let them crash and fall apart, so that what they really don't know how to do and how unproductive they are, they show, so that corporations can start making better decisions. So I just want to go quick through this 9 psychological effects of being the other woman. And so this is the other part that I'm talking about. If a woman is serially the other woman, and this is out of what, Bonoboli, psychological effects of women. Okay, so one is the guilt is intense. 2 is mind games can tire you. 3 is you may have trust issues. 4, you fear your judgment. 5, pressure of secrecy can be depressing. 6, your patience may wear out. 7, right, patience, what is that? What you were saying, Chris, that she would eventually become the main woman, right? So that would also lead to her being cynical. 7, it can be draining on mind and body. 8, it affects your self-confidence and self-esteem. And 9, you may emerge stronger after it's over. Okay. So women who allow themselves to be in that situation, that could have them become somewhat dysfunctional. That's a level of trauma on a woman's brain if she's having those situations over time. So that could make her very, very undesirable. So avoiding women who are known to be side chicks and accept that and will make all kinds of excuses about how she doesn't know how she got into it, like that woman was saying, and it was just a matter of feelings. Men need to look at those women and the impact, like I just read, those 9 psychological effects. How does that impact that woman's emotional stability, and what are you getting yourself into? So it's a trap. It's a trap for her that you don't want to get into. And most guys don't have the tools to be able to deal with a woman who is in that trap. So stay away from the side chicks. Let them be side chicks. We have brothels. I'm not a proponent of brothels. Well, we have them for a reason. Those women serve a purpose. And if a woman wants to set herself up to be sort of, what is it, de facto prostitute, an informal prostitute, then accept that. Don't try to change her. That's the life she chose. She understands what she got herself into. And my real big concern is when these side chicks start getting pregnant because they see they've aged out of the market and they have children and they're still being side chicks. I know this is anecdotal, but I know a guy, Jehovah Witness, raised Jehovah Witness. He had 2 or 3 older brothers, and his mother raised him Jehovah Witness. And I don't know what happened with the father, but she's now a single mother raising 3 or 4 boys. And then she gets into an affair with the pastor of their church, their Jehovah Witness. And I can only imagine how angry that would have made his older brothers. And they all ended up in jail. And since this guy is the youngest, the mother definitely was extremely protective of him. But, you know, how does that affect you psychologically, having such a religious mother and watch her be a side chick for the pastor who was married, and you're Jehovah Witness, you're religious? I mean, that's like a walking contradiction. It contradicts everything. So it's
right. She might as well just been Christian.
What? Why do you say that?
It would have been acceptable if she would have been Christian.
Oh, to be with the pastor?
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised at how many women in churches are fucking their pastors behind their husband's back.
Yeah, I know that. It doesn't make it acceptable. Yeah, I get that, but that doesn't make it acceptable. That's why they're sneaking around. I mean, if you said Islam, I can get that, but Christianity, Jehovah's Witness, they don't accept that.
Right. No, I'm not saying that they necessarily accept it. I'm just saying it's known and nobody really. Well, yeah, I guess you can kind of say it's accepted then, because a lot of people know about it. They just don't do anything about it.
They keep going back to the church. Right. So that I gave an example of a woman being a side chick for a pastor who was married and she was raising sons. So that, I guess that could be one excuse, because to my knowledge, the pastor was paying bills for her. And who knows if he touched any of those boys. You know, we all think that
right.
The pastor is just having sex with, you know, the mother. But a lot of them are pedophiles for boys. And the mother does nothing. Well, I'm telling you, his older brothers all went to jail. All of them became reckless and wild, out of control. And they were old enough to understand what their mother was doing. And I'm sure there was a lot of disapproval. So they acted out. And that's one of the things that, you know, I was looking for some articles and what are the effects of having an affair and the kind of resentment that children have towards the parent for doing this kind of thing. I don't think anyone's done a lot of research on what I'm specifically talking, like when a side chick has children and how does that impact the children. If they have done it, I just didn't find the research. I only found children of a parent or parents who are having an affair, but it's going to have a similar impact. So those kind of women, men, if no matter if you're a guy with a lot of children and you're looking for a wife, I still wouldn't suggest you find one of those women who have been a side chick. She's just developed too many bad habits, and you've got to look at the way she sees herself. You know, and I'm looking at the extreme one, a Jehovah's Witness. I'm sure that's not common, but it's kind of dirty though, and it conflicts with everything.
Right. It's a special kind of stupidity to want to be someone else's second option. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like think about the level of retardation that takes to say I'm fine with being your second.
So let me ask you, and I'm gonna get ready to close this out. I'm gonna close it out. But here's the question. So what about the side dude? Do you see it the same way?
The side dude, no.
All right, tell me why not.
Because he never has any feelings involved. For him, it's purely contractual. He is the one who actually has the contract, you know. He is the one. I know dudes who were, like male strippers, like when they were young, and they always had, you know, wives that would, you know, come by and buy them stuff and you know,
right.
Take them out or whatever. But for them, it was purely contractual, you know. When he graduated college or when he, you know, got whatever out of whatever financial bond he was in, he was like, all right, I'm done. And he completely cut her off and walked away. Sometimes they even got married. Cut her off, walked away, got married, and he thought no more about that woman.
Yeah, I think, yep, guys do that much easier. Anyone else? I don't know if Alex, you're still there. What do you think about the side dude? Kendrick?
I would have to agree with Chris on that too. It's just, you know, that dude just there to get his rocks off.
Well, here's,
you know,
here's the one thing that's hard for people to say. The side... The side dude is still being led by the woman, even though it's contractual and he may walk away when he wants. There are some dudes who do get attached, but let's just say most guys don't. He's still being led by that woman because she chose him. She made that decision to sleep with him before he even knew it. And she actually made a decision to sleep with someone, to have an extramarital affair before she may have even met him. So she's really making a lot of the terms. That's the downside of that, is that you are being led by a woman. Just as a side chick is still being, she's got to abide by
some rules. That's not really a fair comparison, because by nature, it's women who decide on any mating choice. You know, it's women who decide who they're going to date, who they're going to fuck. So that decision is always in the woman's hands. It's just once it's in the woman's hands, we men are the ones who decide if we're going to stick around, if she's worth keeping or not. But initially, that decision is always reliant upon them. It's always been in their hands.
That's because men accepted that. That actually literally is because men accept that. Men could actually literally.
No, you can't walk.
That.
You can't walk up to a woman and tell her you're going to fuck me, and she just said okay. No, she has to be the one to pick you, because anything else is rape.
It is. If anything else is rape, statutory rape in particular.
All right. So you guys are not understanding what I'm saying. Sex is take rape.
Wait, help my understanding to you.
All right, you're gonna have to let me talk then. I'm not talking about rape, so we're gonna take that off the table. You have consenting adults. If a woman walks up to a guy and says, "I want to have sex with you," that doesn't guarantee he's gonna have sex with her either. And there are plenty of women who have inboxed guys in social media, and the guy's like, "Nah, I'll pass." So that happens. And when it's mutual, the interest is mutual, it's what guys have allowed themselves to be in because they believe that's the way it is. But if you actually sit down with a woman and say, "Look, sex is mutual, and I'm not a child and neither are you. So if you don't want to have sex with me, you should stop talking to me. If you do, then we need to sit down and talk about when this is going to happen." And you ask her, "Is sex going to happen today?" And it's like, "Well, no, then tell me what do you need from me to have sex with me? Like, we need to sit down and talk." And if she says, "Well, you need to buy me a car or something," it's like, then we're done. Unless the guy wants to buy her a car. What I'm getting at is that men can have significantly more power in these situations. They just don't know that they can, because they've been told that they don't.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I don't think you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that woman has to pick you before that conversation you just talked about can even take place. If the woman isn't attracted to you, if she doesn't want you, you're not even going to get to sit at the table where you can have that conversation with her.
That's untrue. That's absolutely untrue. Most women.
You can't just walk down the street. You can't just walk down the street, walk up to a random woman and say, "Hey, we're going to have sex. We need to sit down and discuss the stipulations of it. We need to sit down and discuss the guidelines of it, so we can make sure it's mutually beneficial for both of us." She's going to look at you and say,
"Guys have." There are guys who have literally done that. They've been smacked, but they've also been successful.
Yes. Yeah. But a small percentage that are successful at it, we're not talking about the exception. We're talking about the norm. Is that something a man can normally do? No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's just men don't know that they can.
No, I still say no. It's Michael Jordan could dunk from the free throw line. Could every NBA player, could every shooting guard from the NBA dunk from the free throw line? No. But Michael Jordan could do it all in the 20.
So part here.
Well, there's going to be a sect of men who probably can do that. I've seen guys do that. I'll give you a story. There's a guy I know. I ain't gonna say his name because somebody you know probably might be listening to the show. But when he got out of the Navy, he decided that he didn't want to work. Right. So what he did was he turned his apartment into a strip club. And the craziest thing, one day we were hanging out. We was like, yo, let's go to the store and get some beer. At the store getting beer, this fine chick walks in the store. He just walks up to her. We know nothing about this chick. He just walks up to her. He says something to her. We don't know what he says. Friday night, we're hanging out at his house. This chick is in his living room stripping. So could I do that, or could the vast majority of men in society do it? No. And none of us know what the hell he said to her. But whatever he said, and this was a married woman that he had in his house in like six days stripping after having one conversation with her. Could the vast majority of men do that? Every woman? No.
No.
It's not. It's not the norm.
And
to think that it's the norm is a good way for a man to get a rape charge.
And Chris, and let me add on what you said, Chris. That man, this author, I know you know him. A gentleman go by Alan Roger Carey. All his so-called fans talk about is mole one. That's all they talk about. But like you saying, the typical dudes can't approach these women with mole one type of mindset.
No, they have to. It has to be. Women have decided within the first 10 seconds of seeing you whether they want to have sex with you or not. 10 seconds. So long
right,
before you
know
you notice
that's
her.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
a fact.
I get your point. The studies didn't show that. That's not what they showed. They said the women made they judged the man, but I don't know if it was for sex. They judged him within 6 seconds. It was 6 seconds. And women came up with that. And that's how they figured out women were more shallow than men, because they were judging men in 6 seconds on average. So what I'm saying is most men don't know how to do they may not be well-versed in quantum physics, let's say, except you can be trained into quantum physics, and you can be much better or even become good and proficient. So it's the same thing in talking to women. And I'm not talking about being a pickup artist. I'm not talking about being a pickup artist. What I'm getting at is that men have more power than they realize. They just end up turning it over to women, because women don't have power. Like Big Exclusive said, haven't you always said that any power a woman has is because it's borrowed from a man? Doesn't that always mean that man is always in control? That he's never being led. What a lot of guys have allowed themselves to be led, because we keep saying the same. It doesn't matter how many times you say a lie, it's still a lie, even though most people believe it. Like they, in Europe, they believed the earth was the center of the universe. And they said it over and over again, and even executed a man for saying that it was not, that was inaccurate. But the
right.
lie that they said never became the truth.
Right, but even in your analogy about quantum physics, about men, being able to learn quantum physics, sure he can do it, but you know what he can't do? Just because he learned quantum physics, he still can't make NASA hire him.
Sure, if you train him properly, sure you can. You can.
No, you can't make them do it. Whether they want to hire
you
or not is still a personal choice.
But what I'm saying is that women are not as they're not as difficult as we've been taught they are.
I'm not saying they're difficult. I'm just saying we're not all on the same equal playing field with women. You know, there are guys who look far better than you and I, that can just walk up, snap their fingers, and the woman, there'll be a train of women behind them, right? Where the rest of us might actually have to cultivate, our talking
And then there are ugly guys who do the same thing.
Even the ugly guys, for them, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game.
No, they have a line of women. It's like the ugly guys, there are ugly guys who can do that. But do most people learn how to be? See, one of the things that hurts men is trying to be something that you're not. You lose a lot of power when you attempt to be what you think someone wants to be. And if you can imagine that, women do that way more than what men do. See, as long as men believe they can't, Henry Ford said it best, if you believe you can or you can't, it's true. It doesn't matter. And men have been sold this idea that they can't do these things when they actually can. And I'm not trying to sell a pipe dream or a lie. I'm only saying that men have way more power with women than they realize, especially when it comes to sex. But they have bought into the notion that they're powerless. And the men that didn't buy into it, they demonstrate very different results. And they seem like they are the exception.
Welcome back.
It's just like we think Steve Jobs was some great exception. He really wasn't. But people believe he was. And there's a video of him going around on YouTube. I think it's been chopped up. But he said, if once you realize that everything in this world has been created by people just like you and they created it from nothing, then you understand you have way more power than you realize. And this goes across the board for so many things. But we've been sold that there are exceptions. There are individuals that are different. And people have this possibility and don't know it.
No, I get that. I get that. I get what you're saying, but I still say that no, it's not true. And I'm just gonna have
you're,
to agree
you're
to disagree
right.
with you.
You're 100% right as long as you think that way. Nothing I can say.
No, me living in reality is. I mean, it's not. If that was the case, what you're saying is men are choosing. To not have the woman they want desire them, right? That's what they're choosing.
And they've chosen many things to let women do.
Hold on. So by your logic, let's just say the ugliest guy in America should be able to walk up to Miss Brazil, and she should want him because he thinks she wants him, right?
Miss Brazil
has way better options than the ugliest guy in America.
But what's that ugly?
And if she's not going to exercise those options.
Look at that. What's that? What's that ugly guy's name? Maybe he's from Africa who married the model.
Seal.
Yeah. Damn. You knew who I was talking about. Seal. I knew it started with.
You're talking about Seal and do you know? Do you know the story? How?
No, I don't want to hear the story. I actually don't. What all I'm saying is he's an ugly guy.
Right. But if you knew the story, then you would know that the story contradicts everything.
I positively don't want to know it. Absolutely. We explain things away. And see, this is what I'm getting.
No, I'm not explaining it away. I'm telling you what he said. This was his own
words.
Everything he's saying.
He's never going to tell you what, just like Usain Bolt doesn't.
No, he actually did tell it.
No.
He actually did tell it. And it contradicts.
Donald Trump wrote The Art of the Deal, but he didn't tell you how he actually got deals. No one read his book and became a real estate billionaire tycoon because people don't always tell you. Sometimes they don't even know. They give you an explanation. The explanation principles don't give you access to the power of what the person had. And that's usually the gap. And that's
except
why
sometimes they do know. Sometimes they do know because they're told.
They're told by who?
they're told by the women that depict them. And he was specifically told by the woman that model that he married, why
she
did it.
Listen, I wouldn't trust what the woman tells you because they don't even usually know why they're making these decisions. Like, this is what I'm getting at. Those are all explanations. But what actually happened, we generally don't get into what actually happened. We get into explanations. That's why I don't even want to hear it. Because those are not, that's not what actually happened. That's what appeared to happen on the surface. And that's what we buy into. And that's why it becomes impossible. Because we buy into the explanation that was on the surface.
But you're asking me to buy into your explanation.
I'm not asking you to buy. I'm not giving you an explanation. I'm what I'm doing is standing and saying you and all men on the planet have way more power than you realize. We've been sold that we've been – just look at the United States. Men have been devalued on so many levels that we've even been sold that – we've even been sold that women – we've been sold that sexuality is something that we should be lucky to have because we have no power in this situation. And that's a lie.
All I'm saying is, just like Superman, there's a limit to your power.
It's only sex.
I'm not talking about just sex. I'm specifically speaking on what you said, power. There's a limit to your power.
Well, I'm saying, and we don't know what that limit is.
And that limit is going to be contingent upon each individual. Every individual has their own limit. I don't get to define it for you. You don't get to define it for me.
We're clueless. We're clueless about the power of a human being.
You're absolutely right. You're right, but eventually – it's one of those things where you find it out through your experiences in life. You find out what you can and can't do.
That's actually an inaccurate statement. Because, see, you can only understand.
Let me ask you a question. Go ahead.
You can only understand your power within the context of the society you live in. So if I told you could actually walk on air, you'd tell me it's ridiculous, and that's in the paradigm we live in, that would be correct. But if you understand that gravity, and I'm way off topic now, but if you understand that gravity is just a frequency, and the human body is also a frequency, and an average human body is measured in frequencies of 76 megahertz, and if you looked at gravity as being, let's say, 1,000 megahertz frequency, once you get your body's frequency to go above 1,000, you look like you're walking on air because gravity, that you're now above the frequency of gravity. And so there is something to the frequency of the body, because once the frequency of the body drops to 40 or below, you're susceptible to cancer and other diseases. We just don't understand the capacity of our body's frequency in relationship to everything else in the world. So we don't understand our power. But with the tools we have are so limited in the mindset and the belief that we have, except there are so many signs of evidence that there's much more. I mean, imagine if your frequency drops down to 40, you're susceptible to cancer and other illnesses. And your frequency is mostly predicated on the way you think, your mindset. Like, they have found this, what I'm going to say is connected to that the human being can alter their own DNA, but they alter it through language, through thinking. So there's so much more that's possible for us, but we're not taught that. In the big exclusive, they also said you couldn't run a mile in under 4 minutes, and now it's run 3 minutes and 43 seconds. We don't understand what we have. Without even using manipulation, I mean, there are just our brains and the frequencies that our brains give out that can cause people to do other things. Now, that's you know, maybe could be considered unethical and forcing people to do things. But we have significantly more power as men, and we've been taught to underestimate ourselves. And we've handed women this pedestal of sexuality in her vagina, and we believe we have no access to it unless she allows it. And that becomes a trap.
As humans, we're just animals, right? As humans, we're just animals, right?
Okay.
No, I'm asking you. That's a question.
You said as humans, we're just animals?
Right. We're just a more sophisticated animal, right?
We're
just animals with opposable thumbs and cognitive reasoning abilities, right?
Now you're asking a really complicated question, and that the answer
it's not that complicated.
Well, okay, so let me answer it this way. Do you know that human beings did not always have language, therefore they did not always speak? They found this. This has already been proven.
I agree. I agree. Neanderthals didn't have a language.
We don't understand how that happened. Now I'm going off on a huge tangent. It may have happened because someone interfered with human development. This wasn't part of evolution. It may have been an outside. I don't understand how that would have happened, but it's not
right,
an evolution.
Right. Well, that's proof of aliens. But either way it goes, as humans, we're mammals. We're animals. We're no different than that we're animals
point,
with
no no at one pulse. Point we were that at one point we were, but someone tampered with us, our DNA. There's a gene,
right,
I think they call it
the fox yeah.
Fox P2
yes.
Gene,
but at our very core, that's what we are. And even in the animal kingdom, every spring the males do all kinds of mating rituals, hoping that the female chooses them to mate with. And we are no different than them. We still are reliant upon the woman to pick us. We're just the ones who decide if we stay or not, if she's worth keeping. That decision initially is going to come from her.
Well, with the animals, know that some of them, they fight for the woman, and so he takes it.
And she still chooses. She chooses the victor. Unless you want to talk about dolphins, which dolphins, otters. Trying to think. There's a couple other animals.
Well, in that case,
koalas.
She actually didn't choose. See what you're talking about. The female doesn't choose the victor. He's the last man standing, and he takes it. She's in heat. She's going to have sex with whoever. Doesn't matter to her.
It does matter. She's still going to. She chooses him. Look at peacocks. Peacocks.
I understand that you've got to outdo some. When dogs go into heat, they will have sex with any dog. It's wild to see that. But if they're dogs who fight, then she has sex after the fight is over, whoever's standing. Look at the lion. He takes over a pride. He will not mate with any female unless she's the alpha. And you watch. When he comes in, he chases out the other male lions. Then he kills the cubs one at a time. And then all the females come to him. And he's like, get away from me. And he looks for the female.
No, he mates with all the lionesses, and then once he ages out, they turn on him and kill him into a new alpha.
When he takes over,
he does not just have cubs by just one lioness and a pride.
No, he has cubs by all of them.
The first one
he mates with is only the alpha female. He doesn't mate initially. He only mates with the alpha female.
You said initially. I'm saying after the alpha. He may have sex with her initially, but he has cubs by all of them eventually. He eventually mates with all the lionesses, and then once he ages out,
They all attack him.
I
run him off and kill him.
I understand.
And
but they don't. He's not. They're not choosing him. He comes in and kills off, gets rid of everyone, all of his competition, and then has sex. He is not asking. He's not asking to be chosen. He doesn't buy flowers. He does nothing. She knows that he's going to have sex with her. That's it. She knows what's going to happen. See, if guys had that kind of attitude that this is going to happen, you're not going to deny me.
There are guys who have that attitude. And let me tell you, they're in a place now where they wish that they didn't have that attitude.
No. You're not. I'm not talking about raping a woman. No, there is a certainty. It's like you can literally say to a woman, look, I want to talk to you, but if you talk to me, we're going to have sex. You understand that, don't you? And if you don't want that, you should run. But if you stay, we're having sex. And then there are other methods where you just, how much is this going to cost me? But you can't have her. You can. Are you willing to do what it takes so you put yourself in that position? But you can have that. You can be in that position.
Well, Ted, all I'm going to say, man, back to the topic, I would say these serial fan chicks, my advice to do was to avoid those women at all costs. That would be that would be the same logical, thing to say to a dude. But grown folk gonna do what grown folk do. But that would be, my take from tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean are they really being grown folks though, right? So grown folks are responsible for their actions. And so that's that. I'm glad you said that way, Kendrick, because that woman we listened to, she was like, well, I just had feelings, and well, this happened, and well, like, that's not being a grown folk. That's being like a victim and irresponsible. And so that's part of the reason why I'm asking men, do you want to be with a side chick? Because she may be showing that she's willing to be irresponsible and take no responsibility for anything. And she's accustomed to not having to put in the effort. And so what kind of bad habits is she going to have? Do you want to be with someone like that?
Right. I don't think a lot of you do know what they're getting into, sir.
Exactly.
That would be the same logical thing to tell a man, what I'm saying? At least that's coming from me now.
Well, right, dude. So, and this is what men need to start thinking about. How responsible is this woman? Especially if you're thinking about having children. Because the last thing you need is an irresponsible woman being the child's first teacher. And she can't teach the children about responsibility. And what's going to happen is, for the rest of your life, you'll be taking care of those children. Instead of them growing up and leaving the nest and making their own way and being productive citizens in the world, they end up being leeches on their father. You don't need a woman who's going to help create leeches.
Most That's certainly not. And you got to check her track record, to you.
Right. A side chick is kind of a leech, if you think about it. She's just leeching on to some married dude, and she'll extort him if he doesn't do what she wants. What kind of partner is she going to be in a committed relationship? And I might be sounding cold, but these are things men need to think about. And if women... want to put themselves in that kind of situation, they need to be thinking about, well, this could be the outcome. You know, long term, you could be going, creating a deadly trap that you never escape. And you'll have to be a side chick for the rest of your life until you age out of that. And then there are women out there who aged out of being side chicks. They're too old to get married. And they're just hopping along in life, unhappy. And they are out there.
Yeah, and they need to
look at
that.
That's what we talked about last week. Remember, that third wall is when they age out and they stop being physically attractive to men. That's the death sentence.
Exactly. It's over.
Yeah, and they need to start thinking of these repercussions that's coming with all this.
Right.
Take it
right with
the territory.
There's nothing they can do about that except be born all over again, and hopefully they learn something. Final thoughts on this topic? I know we went off on a huge tangent. Good comments, big exclusive. Thank you for that. Yes, lifting cars, climbing Mount Everest. Yeah, lots of things were impossible. This whole notion of a woman lifting a car off of a child has had a huge impact in me and my life. And it translated into breaking records in sports and then even in business and sales doing things. So it really is a mindset. But anyway, final thoughts on the topic. Should men avoid serial side chicks for marriage? Should they avoid ever marrying any man? You find out she was a side chick, should you just avoid her as a wife?
Yes. Long story short, yes.
I second that motion. I second it. I say precisely yes. You should avoid those types.
Yeah, I think the consequences of bringing someone into your life like that will be detrimental.
That way, not only detrimental, highly astronomical risk involved,
yep,
with such a person.
Yep. And especially someone who is accustomed to negotiating with extortion. And if you married them, you know, that men are not in the best position unless you have trust and in a really good long prenuptial agreement. And whoever Donald Trump's lawyer was for his first wife, you need to have that lawyer because he knew what he was doing.
Well, not only that, Ted, I have one you want to look for, either being related to one of those Rothschilds. Yeah, man, that's
yeah,
all the way Trump, I can see you get the rat.
Trump had a good lawyer for his prenuptial agreement for his first marriage. Like, everyone's still talking about that. She contested
wow.
it.
Also, that she old did. Lady's still living, huh?
I guess. I don't know. But she didn't get what she wanted. She thought she could take more from him, and his prenuptial agreement was tight. She didn't get what she thought she would. So
well,
anyway.
Then, you know, that's a lesson to be learned for all men and parents not to do it then.
That's the point. Exactly. That's the ultimate point. Right. So, hey, Chris, I know we went way down a rabbit hole, and not everyone has a stomach for that kind of conversation.
No hard feelings.
It's still relevant, though. It's still relevant because these are men
right.
need to rethink their power in this world, and they're being talked out of it.
I agree with you. Well, not only that, they're being forced to give it up by other men.
And that's the worst part. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where
that's the real conversation men don't want to have, because when we do have that conversation, it's going to get pointed one way, and that side that it's going to get pointed at doesn't want to talk about it.
What do you mean?
It's going to get pointed at white men, and they don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I think black men are way too liberal and open-minded to allow anything. And you can – we don't – forget about the U.S.
We weren't always that way.
Look at
– black men used to be very conservative.
Look at Africa. They just let people –
I'm not African. I'm not African. I haven't been to Africa. I've never –
No.
I don't have any ties to Africa.
I'm saying that this is a problem.
So when you say look at Africa, when you say look at Africa, the black men in America aren't the same as the black men in Africa.
Absolutely not. No question, no doubt. And they know it. And people here need to know
it. Yeah, they know it.
So, and yes, there is evidence that the men who were here did not bend to anything. They preferred to fight to the death. Yes.
Well, you know, another thing real briefly, that's another way you have men winning over Nancy by taking their power back from not marrying, no in and everything. So I could say we make some progress. What'd you see?
This progress is very, very recent, and the numbers are small. So, you know, otherwise you don't even let feminism into your household back in the 50s and 60s. Even a
20. Even the progress that men are making now, it's going to take a while for that to have a lasting effect on society. Like, for instance, we're going down a hole.